I'm still recording. I wanted to start. We need to get this thing happening.
It's been a really long time.
What do we do about this British guy?
I was going to say, you guys going to record now?
It's almost 5 a.m. for him. I think he probably needs to get some sleep.
I'm fine. All right. I've heard about on a plane.
It's on a plane.
World is complete.
I am sick of these motherfucking Idol 11. On this motherfucking plane!
And that's when the neighbors upstairs just decided to give up for another evening. Ain't happening tonight, baby. That insane man downstairs has just crossed another line. I'm going to sleep. Hey everyone, it's WTF at TFW coming to you lightning fast and right on time over here in Toronto, Ontario, and across the world, both coasts of the United States. We are all together here for 177. Joining me is Gog Dog.
Hey, sorry. I had to find my unmute button. Forgive me, I'm gonna try my best to make it through this with my, you know, normal level of professionalism. In the 5 hours that we've been sitting here waiting for this episode to start, I've drank an entire bottle of wine. So, but, you know, you will not notice on your end as a listener. Thank you.
Sorry, I just thought I'd take a quick sidestep and go use the washroom. Didn't think it would take me that long. Also with me here today is Seth Buzzard.
Hello. I've been working on movie ideas.
Oh, they're fantastic movie ideas. I think you could market a lot of these.
I gotta take a class, though.
Yep. You gotta be legit.
Movie idea class.
You gotta weaponize that knowledge. We're gonna talk to you today about Transformers, ladies and gentlemen. And we're gonna open up with ba-da-ba-ba-ba-bum, BotCon 2012 news. And this time it's actual, there's fun, legitimate fact to talk about. Because the BotCon 2012 location and dates have been announced. It's at the Hyatt Regency in Dallas, Texas, from April 26 to 29, 2012. BotCon.com has hotel information, even though it's all sold out, most probably. But there is now a date. It is in late April, and it's in Dallas, Texas. And this is fantastic news, because it means that friend of the podcast, Diamooch on Twitter, is going to have a awesome BotCon. Gonna be a good one, and that makes me feel good. Otherwise, I have no idea how I'm gonna feasibly make it to this BotCon, because I don't even know what my schedule for April is gonna be like until February. I'm gonna try to go myself because I have a streak to maintain somehow. I like Texas because they have Big Toast, and I really want to go. The logistics, especially with me being a poor ass student right now, it's painful to think about. So I'm happy I can ignore it until February. But Gog, I think that you're going.
I don't see any reason why I'm not. I'm definitely glad Josh is going because same as last year, he'll be my roommate again this year. It sounds like.
Woo woo woo.
So yeah, really happy about that. So I've got my room booked. Took a few times. Because they had made the announcement, 15 minutes later, I went to book my room by calling the hotel, and several of the official nights were no longer available, which is a little strange, but, information came out that they had added more rooms to the official group block in the hotel. So I called and re-added those rooms. So everything has so far worked out pretty well. So yeah.
Well, it was a nice also way to end a pretty for me as a viewer, a very unpleasant 7 to 10 days of Twitter nonsense. altogether. Yeah. But just before that comes up, I want to say, Seth, how are you feeling about the dates and location? Is it going? Do you think it's going to work for you, or are you not sure yet?
Well, if anything, the dates are going to be easier for me than the past couple of years because, like, at my work, when there's a holiday, they block out, like, the week before and the week of the holiday because we have to make up for that day off and run extra trucks. So it's an all-hands-on-deck sort of situation. So the last two BotCons have been in those blacked-out zones for Memorial Day in May, or like the overlapping like that week, which is blocked off, and either before or after. So it's always been kind of a hassle. And last year I got really lucky because we had a changing of the guard as far as managers, and where the previous manager was accommodating, the new manager wasn't as eager to let me have one of those days off. So not being near a holiday is going to make it a lot easier. And I picked third at work for vacation time. And the two guys that picked before me, they didn't take any of that week last year. So I'm hoping that they don't have any plans for that time period themselves. So that should be easier. Texas, I'm looking forward to messing with Texas on its own turf. I work with a guy from Texas, and I mess with him as much as possible. So it's going to be good to take the fight directly to them.
They have big toast there, too.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with Texas toast.
Oh,
it's like, oh, wow.
It's huge.
It's good.
I could get a loaf of bread and cut a big chunk off of it, too. I mean, it's not like they've invented anything.
You're trying to tell me you've cracked the secret of Texas toast?
Yeah. Yeah, you just spread out the cuts a little bit.
Oh, no!
Well, doesn't Texas toast have... Isn't it garlic bread, though?
Can be.
Am I?
When they had BotCon in Texas...
I'm pretty sure you could get garlic all kinds of places.
when they had BotCon in Texas last time, the hotel I stayed at just had huge-ass thick-cut toast for free at the breakfast buffet, and it amazed me back in whatever that was, like 2006.
Yeah. I will say one thing I am happy about the location is I had priced flights, and this will be possibly the cheapest BotCon flight for me ever, so I'm kind of... at least happy about that.
And on the flip side, and to lead into a point I want to make, I priced out flights directly from here to Dallas, and they're, you know, just over $650 before taxes and airport fees round trip, which just leads me to a little thing I want to throw down, because once again, a lot of people are complaining, like, they chose insert city. How could they at insert date? That's completely unreasonable. Guess what? Every date is unreasonable for someone and reasonable for somebody else. Every location is unreasonable for someone and reasonable for someone else. You gotta just accept that by this point. And Dallas, I hear, is a bit of a hub. So, if you want to get mad about the location, go for it. But please bear in mind...
Well, what I was told about its hubness is it's an American Airlines hub.
Yeah.
So
that hubness doesn't help me.
If you're pricing out flights, check with American. I mean,
yeah,
but you're gambling because they filed for bankruptcy last week.
Yeah, well, I always fly Southwest, so I priced it with Southwest, and it was incredibly cheap, way cheaper than any flight I've done in the past 3 years. So
I priced it with Air Canada because that's all I got, and yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, if anyone in the States is complaining about the location. Try living in another country. Anyway, I've rambled about it.
Yeah, my intent is to go. I can't say with 100% certainty I'm definitely going to be there because I have to get all my ducks in a line first.
Yeah.
And even if I go, it's likely I'm going to have to not spend as much as I have in the past. But I should be able to go. I mean, unless... something comes
both
up.
Both of you guys better go, because you can't break up the band, man.
I don't want to break
up
the band.
It's my intent to go. If I don't go, it's because of things out of my control.
If I go, there's a chance I might only be able to go for 2 days. which is going to be weird for me because I usually try to go for every day. And I'm not going to like it if I can only go for 2 days, but I really want to go because I've been to every single one since 2000, and I don't want to break that if I can avoid it. I'm really, like, dementedly obsessed with streaks like that, and it'll wig me out if I can't pull it off. This is first world problems to ever talk about. But nonetheless...
I do have to say, though, that on the way to Florida for that BotCon, I had to change planes at Dallas-Fort Worth, and I am not a fan of that airport.
Well, the airport that I was flying into, or will fly into if I fly Southwest, which I probably will, was Dallas Love Field, something with love in it. I don't remember, but it was not the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and that was really cheap. So you may be able to hit a different airport in the same city with a different airline.
Yeah, I'll look, but if I'm flying out of SFO, who knows what that situation's going to be.
Yeah.
If there's a way I could find, if I could find some way to fly out of Santa Rosa, holy crap, that's going to be awesome. But, I mean, that's such a little airport. I mean, Santa Rosa Airport's kind of like maybe smaller than the Pasadena Airport. the Bob Hope International, if you went through there during one of the Pasadena BotCons. So that'd be awesome to use an airport like that. And I love the Bob Hope Airport. It's so good.
Nice and tiny.
Oh, just easy.
Yeah.
Easy in, easy out. Everyone's mellow. One thing about SFO, man, you're going to get yelled at. People are going to be yelling at you. SFO.
Like staff or just people in the airport who are traveling? I got places to be! Get out of my way!
No, at the security line, like, they keep that thing organized. And if you step out of line, you get shouted back. And they make sure you know what's up before it's your turn. Like, they're walking up and down the line, like, reminding you about your shoes, reminding you about liquids, mind you about your belt, your laptop. But what ends up happening is that line moves pretty good. Oh, like, yeah. Every time I've gone through SFO, the line might be long, but it's moving.
Yeah. And you know what I like?
The price you pay is getting hollered at.
I'm okay with that because there's one thing I really like doing, which is following protocol in airport security lineups because, for some reason, speaking as someone who generally dislikes authority, I always kind of feel for most airport security people and want to make their day easier because they probably deal with some really crabby travelers. And I like to be part of the solution. If I can be.
Yeah, I've found that everybody involved in air travel, the easier you make it on them, the easier they're going to make it on you.
Yep.
Let somebody else be the one hassling them and giving them a bad day.
Yeah.
And you will slide by.
Which is weird for me to feel the need to communicate, but I know there are also lots of, like, first-time or second-time travelers going out on these trips. So just so you know, don't take it personal if airport security is barking. Because
there's also people with the mentality of, if I yell and demand enough, I'll get my way.
That doesn't happen in airports.
Especially when you're dealing with airline people who can very easily make it so, hey, guess what? You're not getting on any planes. How about them apples?
Yeah. It can mess with
your
day.
You're not happy with this situation? I got another situation for you. It's the one where you don't get where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, always try to play ball. There are a few dicks out there that are kind of crappy to deal with, but in general, a lot of them I find are quite, in the realm of their policies, pretty just. Anyway, that's a weird tangent. But, yeah, we got this. We got all this news, which means that you basically, unless you're trying to get into a different hotel block, you've got all the information you need. And if you have been privy to some of the louder conversations going on social media, you can now go away from them because there's a nice period of radio silence you can enjoy now. You enforce your own radio silence.
And with about hotel prices, it's been my observation that the BotCon rate isn't that much less. Like, I've seen it where it's only like $10 less a night.
Actually, I did not have Sunday night booked because the BotCon rate for Sunday night is $129. The non-BotCon rate was $230. So I think in this case
That's pretty significant.
Yes. In most years, it was maybe a $20 difference. I'd say so far from what I've seen, and I had originally booked Wednesday night too, because I usually get there on Wednesday night. And the Wednesday night rate without the group rate was $199. So, and I called back and had that converted to the $129. So I'd say in this case, it is a little more, there is more of a differential than normal. Usually you are absolutely right. But this year, I think it's actually a little more exaggerated.
Okay. I was going to advise that, you know, try to be in the primary hotel and not have to walk several blocks or whatever it may be. But yeah, if the price difference is that much, then get whatever's cheapest.
Whatever's cheapest, but in reasonable walking distance. Don't be the ones who are stuck across town, because it's never fun. Always try to be as close to the con as you can.
Yeah, and I mean, just even at the Florida BotCon, being in the hotel across the walkway was kind of a bummer. When you're carrying all kinds of stuff around because you've just been down at the dealer room and you want to unload it, but it's like, oh man, I got to go across. I got to swim across because of the heat and the humidity, and then go up the elevator. And then we were like at the end of that friggin' hallway from Barton Fink. So it was a hike. It took a while to drop stuff off. It's so much more convenient when you're in the same hotel.
Yes.
I'm just going to run up to the room real quick, and you're back in like 10 minutes.
Boom. Yeah. That is the primo way to do a convention. And in my opinion, the only way. Don't, even if you live in the same town, all right, follow the Daimuch example. Still go into a hotel. I know people who have lived in the town with a convention and driven, and by the end of that convention, they were like, I should have just gotten a hotel.
Yeah, and because it's a bummer when, like, the party is still going on and you got to leave. Because it's going to be an hour or whatever to get home. And it's like, where you could just go, okay, party's over, and then you're in bed in 10 minutes because you just had to go upstairs.
Also, there's a party and you have to drive home, which means you have a ceiling put on what you can do because you have to drive home. Anyway. Now we know where BotCon is and when it is, so...
Maybe you hate to party, then.
Yeah.
If you're straight edge, then don't worry about it.
Yo, man, XXX. My name, XXX. Middle X is capital. Any other thoughts on BotCon right now? Or,
I will say at this point that I am trying my best to enjoy BotCon despite BotCon.
Yeah, this came, like I said, this info came out as the aftershock of yet another Twitter throwdown was ebbing away from a lot of folks on my Twitter feed, and I was sitting there going like, man, this is like tainted news for me. I don't feel that way anymore, but like on the day I was like, ah, man.
Yeah, like, we have to wait until there's, like, a guest list and an itinerary for panels and whatnot, but, like, there was one day at this last BotCon where I think I only went to one panel. Maybe it was on Sunday. And I really enjoyed not feeling like a good half of the day was booked, needing to be sitting in this one room.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be a little pickier on what panels I go to. This next time around, and try to have more time to hang out and relax and just, you know, chill with people. Because like one of the most fun events that happened at this last BotCon was when who was there? It was like myself, I believe it was D-Fuzz, Empire, Crasis. I think that's who it was. we were at that market across the street using their Wi-Fi watching King Lafo videos.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of awesome. And like I would like to do more stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what I feel has actually really helped me is going to something as insane as the New York Comic Con, where it is impossible to see even 10% of everything, because now it is a possibility in my head to go to a convention and not see everything. And even though BotCon does a great job of making it so that if you do book yourself properly, you can see everything, now I think even more so than before, I'll be able to just sit back at BotCon and glide and not feel as obligated to see everything.
Yeah, there's been like a couple panels where I was really only there because I felt like I had to be so I could comment about it here on the show. And then I would find myself in a situation where I didn't really have any kind of an opinion because it was something I wasn't really that interested in to begin with.
And you know what else I learned from New York Comic Con? There's a podcast I recorded that I still have to edit because I keep forgetting about it. But I missed the Marvel Universe panel at New York Comic Con, but Crasis and Empire saw it. I think it was them. I know Crasis saw it. I always forget about that Empire character. Weird. But they were able to talk about it at length, and then the rest of us could ask them questions about it, and it was actually a real conducive little conversation. And I was like, wow, I can talk with people about panels that I wasn't present for, because they were there. And all these new concepts were amazing. Just a few little other updates about BotCon off of their Twitter. They are working on a brochure, and as always, when the brochure goes up, registration is not far behind. So when the brochure goes up, think of that as your signal to F5 a whole lot if you want to get in the customization class. And apparently details about cosplay will be forthcoming for all those interested in dressing up at BotCon 2012. So perhaps they will be catering to cosplayers more so than before. I don't know. And then there was all this stuff about the voices of the kids from Prime and et cetera, but that's actually all for a Burbank meetup on Saturday. So never mind. Anyway, any other thoughts about BotCon? Going.
Oh. Yeah, we had a flow going there, and then Seth started talking about markets. So,
what?
yeah, but no, I did want to just say something briefly about the Twitter thing because I didn't want to make this a thing, and even like last week when all that stuff was happening, like people were like, oh, you're going to talk about it on podcast? I'm like, no, it's just whatever. It's just dumb. It's the internet, whatever. But it's just like, I don't know.
It's a bummer.
I hope this, like, cause I would say like when this news finally hit, like all this stuff about, you know, the BotCon and we've been waiting to know where BotCon is. And we've been waiting for BotCon information. And it's like, by the time we got the information, I'm like, I'm just like, do I even care? Do I even want to go with
you?
And
you in particular, because I got on the subway, and then over the course of getting on the subway and getting off the subway, there had been a massive throwdown, and I was just sitting there running my hand over my face, going like, "Why? Why did that even happen?" And I got messages from people going like, "Oh, I can't wait till you talk about that on the podcast." I don't really want to because it's a bummer, and I don't think it's going to help the BotCon Twitter become better at this point, because I've said everything that I have to say that is constructive, and I don't want to say the unconstructive stuff, because what's it going to accomplish?
Yeah, and I felt the same way, but at the same time, it's like, so much has happened, I feel like I should at least say something about it, and I definitely don't ever want to use this show as a soapbox to be able to say things so that people, you know, I'm going to express my feelings to all these people without, you know, and just be completely one-sided about it. So I never want to do that. So, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, the whole thing, like with, you know, with like BotCon, it's like announcements about announcements about announcements. And then the rest of the day is usually followed by endless retweets of people saying, hey, I'm excited about BotCon. And it's like, that's fine. You know, I don't really need 50 of those, but it's cool. And, you know, I had made the the suggestion to Pete, who does the Buck on Twitter, like, hey, maybe, you know, we could have a second Buck on Twitter without all the stupid political jokes and endless retweets, just so, you know, the people who want the information can get it, and we don't, you know, we don't have to wade through all this stuff to find something that's actually useful. And you know, and he had retweeted that, and then he also retweeted all the people that seemed to be, you know, making fun of my comment by like, no, that's dumb, you got no sense of humor. And you know, I was like, whatever, it's, you know, at one point you gotta just put your money where your mouth is. And it's like, okay, like, if I'm gonna complain about their Twitter and I'm gonna continue to follow them, it's, you know, it's kind of hypocritical. So it's like, whatever, I'll unfollow them. When the information comes out, I'll get it from the fan site, because it's posted there within minutes. Mm. Like, 5 minutes, it's gonna be posted on a fan site, and it's gonna be retweeted, and I'm gonna see it. And if I'm complaining about their Twitter feed so much, then absolutely is my responsibility to just unfollow it and remove it from my responsibility, not think about it anymore. But then, you know, like last week, I get, you know, somebody had
Somebody had brought up
the issues that the other people had had, that I had had similarly with the Twitter feed and the way it had been handled. And it's like, you know, especially with the political jokes and stuff and whatever, I don't want to get into that, but, you know, and it's like, somebody had tweeted to BotCon like, well, you know, you're kind of doing some weird stuff and kind of retweeting people you disagree with and then retweeting the people who are laughing at them and stuff. And, you know, it's like, all of a sudden I get a random tweet saying like, oh, you know, we want to apologize to Gog Dog. It's like, you know, it was all a big misunderstanding. And I'm like, you know, okay. it kind of wasn't a misunderstanding. It was, you retweeted me, and then you retweeted all the people who basically said that anyone who disagrees with the Bach on Twitter feed or has any complaints is dumb. And, you know, their response to me was, well, it, you know, we weren't retweeting you. We were retweeting the people who were, or we were retweeting the responses to the Occupy BotCon joke. And I'm like, okay, so you weren't retweeting the people who were making fun of me. You were retweeting people who you offended with political jokes, and then you were retweeting the people who were laughing at them. Like, I'm not understanding how that's a defense, because it's kind of exactly the same thing. And for one, I don't understand how you could differentiate between the two, because you retweeted my tweet, and then you retweeted the fact that people were getting offended by the Occupy joke, and then you were retweeting anyone who agreed with you saying that no one had a sense of humor. So I don't think it's possible for you to differentiate who was talking about either one. But it just, to make a long story short, like I said, I don't want to turn this into a soapbox. It's just been kind of a mess. But at the same time, it's like, all this social media stuff that's been covering BotCon on an official capacity has kind of, it really started souring my excitement for the whole event. And it got to the point to where, like, people were asking me like, hey man, Dallas. And I'm like, yeah, like, TFCon.
Yeah, Dallas.
Because it's like, I know the people who run TFCon, I know Super Megatron, and I know Proto Man, and I know GM Fan, and those guys are, you know, most of those guys I'm actually really good friends with. And it's like, that's the way that they run the convention and try to get people excited in an innocent way, and by word of mouth. It's like, is that what I want to support? Or do I want to support the people who are spouting off somewhat offensive things, and then when people try to say, like, maybe that's not the way you should market your convention, then they retweet the people that are joking at you and then tell you that you have no sense of humor. It's like, yeah, I don't know. So it's, I mean, again, make a long story short, it's just like, I'm really trying to get excited for BotCon, because I do not want one person with a Twitter account to spoil it for me. And there was a one point where I said, you know what, maybe I should put my money where my mouth is and say, you know what, just out of principle's sake, maybe I shouldn't go to BotCon this year. Maybe I should support the other conventions who I think are doing it right. But at the same time, there's a lot more people behind BotCon than one person. And I don't want to, you know,
you don't want to be the
guy. I don't want to include them in all this negativity. And at the same time, there's people that I really enjoy seeing every year. And so, yeah, I'm trying to get that excitement up because there are, like, you know, like we were talking about, Josh Perez. I want to be roommates with Josh Perez again.
Do you know who brightens anyone's day? Josh effing Perez.
Yeah, and so. I want to see you, hopefully, and I want to see Seth, hopefully, and it's like all these people that I want to see. So it's just,
yeah,
it's been a very emotional week as far as I'm trying to find a reason to stay excited about all this.
And speaking for myself, when like that quote, I felt that way when I was sitting there seeing the celebratory, yo, we got 4,000 followers, and I see their number at 4,000. I'm just sitting there going, like, I wonder if I should be the one to knock it to 3,999. And then I was like, I don't want to take Twitter this seriously, and I'm not going to let BotCon's Twitter make me start taking follower counts seriously when I hate the concept of publicly celebrating numbers like that. I'm not going to get into it negative or positive. I'm just going to keep following them because I want to get their news, and I'm going to detach from this. I'm going to drop. Yeah. I'm going to drop my piece. And okay, 176. If you want to hear my piece on all this, I said basically all of it in 176. All I got to add right now is, if you want to make war on the BotCon Twitter or something, don't bother, because it's a brick wall. The BotCon Twitter is, as far as I can tell, a big brick wall. It might respond to you, it might not. If you swear at it, it says it'll block you. And do you want that frustration? Because I don't enjoy it, and I'm not going to ever ask anyone to get into that themselves, because it's not fun. And all it's going to do is make you not enjoy the idea of balking on it. Don't do it. Just ignore that. If you really get that mad about the Twitter, then unfollow it. Because there are many... You know what? If you want to see what they say on Twitter, twitter.com/botcon. Go to that page, and now you see what they're saying. You don't have to follow them.
And one thing on top of that, too, it's like someone had suggested them, like, well, maybe you would have hit 4,000 yesterday if it wasn't for all the offensive stuff you had said, or... and all that, and the retweets, and they said, oh, no, we actually gained followers throughout
that. Yeah, that's not a good thing.
There's such a thing as people
who follow an account to watch a train wreck. Anyway, this is another one of those cases where I just keep having to sit there going, like, for everything I'm saying, the most important person is probably not going to hear this, that being the person who needs to be affected by what I'm saying. So it's no point. If there's a Twitter flare-up, I'll probably joke about it on Twitter. I'm not going to tag BotCon anymore because I don't even want to invite response from it. Like, I've said enough. I don't think there's any more conversation to be had, and I'm not going to try to fuel one. I'm just going to joke about it on Twitter to hopefully make anyone who's mad maybe feel a little bit better. But it's just, the whole thing, even though I feel better about it now, it's just as a bummer that it went down like that, and that it has gone down like that enough times for me to personally say, it's happening too often.
Well, just to kind of play off of what Gog was saying about TFCon, like, before, you know, money became more of a concern, I was considering going to TFCon instead this year anyway. But, I mean, it's just not financially viable at this point. But I forgot the other thing that Gog was talking. Oh yeah. So just very briefly about, like, the Occupy joke that was being made. This is supposed to be the Twitter feed for a business. And what is something like that is going to be funny for some people. It's really serious for other people. And you're gambling hard when you make a joke about, like, anything political. And then they tried to, like, we're not making fun of those people. Here's a Tea Party joke. Well, that's also the same thing. Now you might have aggravated, like, some hardcore.
Yeah. Right, so now you've aggravated everybody.
The thing tends to seem to operate on this really irritating grade schooler mentality of, no, it's okay I did that, because I also did this, which makes the math work. And it's like, no, that's how it works when you're trying to get out of detention.
It's one thing to make the joke. It's another thing to retweet endless people who are then laughing at the people who were offended.
And this is where it's so easy for this account to start to to pull a little bit of, even if it's unintentional, a bit of straw manning, because really the crux of this is not the joke. It's not, I think the joke sucked, and I'm always bummed to see the Occupy movement get yet another power trying to completely cut its knees out from under it, because Lord knows enough things are already doing that. And it's not even about that. It's the fact that it's the way that it was carried out afterwards. It's all the endless retweeting. It's all the endless arguing. It's all the no, listen, my joke was okay to make because, and it's like, no, don't even get into that. That's an endless whirlpool of I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, right after the joke was made on Twitter, Aaron pointed out that by saying, hey, Occupy BotCon, you're putting the image in the head of, oh, we're supposed to come and camp outside of it in protest.
Oh, no, that was me.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah, I said, so basically what you're saying is we should march to your company headquarters and demand a change in management and policy? Because you should probably be careful, because there's been people on the verge of that for the last few years now. I don't think that's what you want to invite. And I don't think you understand what you're actually asking for when you want people to occupy BotCon. But, yeah, but hey, yeah. It's trendy and cool, so it's fine.
Winning.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was like.
But you know what?
But with doing the Charlie Sheen thing last year, I mean, come on, like that's just some dopey celebrity.
I forgot about that cheetah blood.
Can we not talk about that?
Oh, Twitter. Oh, back on Twitter.
Can we put that over here? Okay, anyway, I really hope that 2012 is the year that I say, oh man, you remember when the BotCon Twitter was so dumb and now it's not? That's what I really hope for.
But hey, you know what, guys? See you at BotCon 2012.
Yeah.
They're still getting my money, so I'm trying to find excuses in my head where I can justify it, because like I said, this is one dude, and I don't want one dude to spoil this for me.
Well, and it's like we've said over and over again, BotCon and any convention is what you make it.
Absolutely.
And like, that's what I was kind of getting at with talking about, you know, hanging out at the market and leeching their Wi-Fi was, like, that had really nothing to do with BotCon, except for it facilitated the four people that were there hanging out when would that have happened otherwise? So,
yeah.
I'm going to Dallas looking more for my own fun than having the fun provided for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm trying to do as well. I don't want all this nonsense to spoil it for me. And like, regardless of whether even though the Twitter feed says from at BotCon, it's not, I'm trying to tell myself that's not representative of the whole thing. Like that's a dude who I think needs to, like Vangelis said, I hope one day he gets this social media concept under control. But, again, you know, like I said, you know, I'm planning on going to TFCon this year too, and I'm actually starting to get really excited about it, because it's like I got a lot of friends in Canada, and I got a lot of friends on staff at that convention, and I got a lot of friends who go to that every year, and for the first time in my life, I'm really, really excited to go, and it doesn't seem like a chore of trying to balance finances and everything of, hey, how can I possibly make this work without starving to death for a month? Like, those days are behind me, I think, hopefully. So I'm way more excited for that. It's like with BotCon, it's like there's certain things I'm excited for, but I mean, and that might be, you know, just to be fair, I'm trying to be fair here. It might be because I've never been to one before. So the whole, you know, traveling up to Canada and going to this other, the second, you know, biggest Transformers convention, at least in North America.
This spooky unofficial show that's so much easier to plan.
Yeah. So I'm starting to get pumped about that too. So, you know, I think as we get closer to that, I got no problem pimping that, because I want that show to be good, and I'm sure it'll be good regardless of me. I'm not saying that, but I'm getting excited about going up there.
And now, like, I'm hoping now that we've said all this, we can stop stop feeling the urge to talk about a stupid Twitter account being crazy. And please, if you feel the need to go at them, please, at least speaking for myself, please don't tag my name in it, because I don't want to. I don't want to watch it. I don't want it showing up. I don't want people going like, "Yo, man, I think you're stupid at BotCon, and I really hate you." .. Evangelist. Like, I really don't need that. And I'm not asking anyone to do it, because I don't hate the guy who runs that Twitter, despite everything I'm saying here. I know I clear this up every time. I do not dislike him. I think he's a nice enough dude. Just, like, for some reason, Twitter, like, affects him like gamma radiation or something, and it's unpleasant. But, like, and I'm not going to speak for everyone else, but, like, please don't take up a banner unless you really legitimately want to leave critiques, and if you do, then don't tag other people. Just tag BotCon if you have to, but I'm done with it myself right now.
Well, I have a BotCon speculation question for y'all.
What?
Hall of Fame. If you have to pay extra to attend, are you paying extra this time?
I don't think unless they advertise something really cool. Like, if it's blind, I don't know.
As a step,
how much was it last year? What was it, $20?
Oh, no. It was like over 50.
If it was $20, I would have been cool with last year more than I was in hindsight.
Yeah, it was like $50, I think, or something around there. But no, I gave them the benefit of the doubt hardcore. And I even told other people, like my friend Quinn Jester, I'm like, come on, dude, just drop the cash. We're all going to be there together. It's going to be fun. So even if it's bad, we'll be there. And like, even walking out of that, I felt burned. There's going to have to be something crazy to convince me to go back, because even going just for the sake of being able to cover it on the show, no, I just don't care. I'll hear about it.
Didn't have really that much to talk about after it.
Yeah.
Except for that really loud rant about
people who did go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as it stands, New York, I'm planning on not going unless they say something up front about what it's going to be. But I felt completely burned on that because of all the hints and stuff they were dropping, and it was nothing but just cold popcorn and a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
It depends on the cost.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's $20 or less.
Yeah.
If it's $20, I'll do it because, hey, $20.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah. If it's like $35 or more, I'd rather spend that money going out to dinner with a few people.
Sure. Yeah. Depending what money I have if I pull off registering, even if it's $60, depending on how much money I have, knowing how much of a giant ludicrous fool I can be, I might still go for it anyway. But then, hey, at least I can be that guy sitting there in the hotel room saying, like, oh, I wish I could have joined you guys for that awesome dinner you had where you told all the fun jokes and had a good time. But no, don't worry. They had this really cool thing where they just bolted me to a chair and put nails through my hands, and they told me it would make me more like a scraplet. It was a good time.
Yeah. If we don't go, we should, like, organize the poor man's I'm not going to the Hall of Fame dinner bar night or something.
Yeah.
Meet
the
up.
Bro of Fame dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I would have to assume that it's going to be cheaper because they're not going to have to rent like a fancy theater and Michael Bay.
It's going to be cheaper because they're going to have to convince all the people who were burned last year to come back.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the brochure has to say for certain. But I'm sure you've all been enjoying this episode of BotCon Prep 2011. But I think we should move on from here, and I hope this hasn't bummed anyone out. My apologies to a listener, if there's a listener out there who's been bummed out by that. I really want to be able to assure you that it's going to be a while until there's a whole bunch of, like, ah, blah, 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 BotCon stuff, but you never know. I'm going to try my best to not get sucked into that. But moving on from there, let's talk about some new picks. Yes, there's another whole chunk of podcast to talk about. Hey, Seth, do you have a new pick? What a
pick! Hi. I'm gonna pick two because they overlap.
Ooh.
They're basically the same thing from different people. Hey, check it out, third party.
Hey,
why don't you spread it out? Like let's all do Sea Spray. Okay, what are we all gonna do next? How about Hound Guns and Ravage Missiles? All right. So somehow both Dr. Wu and these other jokers, was it MGS?
Oh, you can't.
Is that what they're called?
Can't say that in a cool way.
Yeah. They're both doing guns and missiles for the classics, Hound and Ravage from a little while ago. And, you know, gotta give them credit. They're clearly not just making the exact same thing. There's differences. Yeah, like, I think the Dr. Wu Hound gun is more accurate. And maybe their Ravage missiles are, I don't know, they're a little small.
Hmm.
Whereas the MGS ones, like both the missiles and the gun are a little more stylized. Like the Hound's gun, is the barrel is much longer than, as I recall it being in the cartoon and the original G1 toy. But maybe the missiles are a little more accurate. It's been a while since I looked at Ravage's toy missiles, but neither of the Ravage missiles look quite right. But I think that Dr. Wu Hound gun is pretty much as close to spot on as you could hope.
I just realized MGS could stand for Metal Gear Solid. I can't think of a clever
Maybe
way to.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know.
Or once they're doing a weapons pack, maybe it's more guns, sucka.
Oh! That still doesn't have that classic Dr. Wu feel to it.
No, well.
It's weird, though, because I mean.
Maybe if it was Dr. MGS.
Dr. Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, I, you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with the classics Hound and Ravage who are like, hey, now's finally my day. I'm not overly interested in this stuff myself, because I don't really feel I need to accessorize the toy at this point, because I've had it for a while.
Yeah.
But it's cool, though, to have it out there, because this is a very logical thing to make as a third party.
Well, I just think that it's humorous that in such a short period of time, we have another case of two third-party companies overlapping.
Yeah, and then, like, going butting heads, only now instead of butting heads over high-end type stuff, they're butting heads over Hound guns and Ravage missiles.
Wow, you're the only person that's ever referred to Sea Spray as being high-end.
Sea Spray is so high-end! You ever heard the dude talk? That's some high-end speech problems you got going on.
You know about the speech problems I've been having.
They're top quality. Gog, any input on Hound missiles and Ravage guns, which I just flipped around?
Not really.
I didn't think so. Have you got a new pick, though, you'd like to talk about?
I do, yeah. We got new images of the United Stepper toy from the grand motherland of Japan.
Million Hero!
It was a mail-away exclusive, right?
Yep.
I'm kind of regretting not get this. I always kind of wanted it, but man, seeing the actual final picks and the fact that he comes with the Target Master, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't make a little remolded spoiler or something to put the Target Master on, because
yeah.
Stepper, known as the American release as Ricochet, had the extra Target Master port in the vehicle mode, but it's still cool he's coming with the Target Master, even if it is just a repainted version of the nightstick that came with Cyclonus.
Yeah,
that's still really cool. And man, this guy looks good. I always wanted it, and I always passed. Like, I had offers of people to buy it for me at cost, at the Japanese price plus shipping, and kind of regretting it now, not doing it, because I think this looks really good.
I absolutely could not afford it when the pre-orders were up.
Yeah.
And I absolutely cannot afford it now, and I'm really bummed, because if I was going to draw up a stupid amount of money, like $120 on a deluxe toy, this would probably be it right now.
Yeah, and I still don't know if I'm willing to pay that much, but at the same time, it's like, man, for all the crazy repaints that come out of Japan, this is like the one I've wanted most in a while.
He's got stickers.
I know. I'm bummed. He looks so good. And I always liked Ricochet, and, you know, for what he was. I bought the Hasbro version, and I was like, yeah, this guy's kind of cool for a Jazz repaint. I mean, there's not Jazz repaints. You know, for all the other characters like Prowl and the other, like, Sideswipe, the other Autobot cars that get repainted, like, Jazz never really got any repaints besides Stepper, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
That's... So, yeah, it's like, you know, so... And, well, and we never got it in America at all. So, you know, hearing about Stepper, it's like, oh, man, like, that's kind of crazy. It's like a Jazz repaint. And then they re-released it in the commemorative series, and I bought it. It's like, yeah, this is cool. It's like, it's a new dude. But, yeah, seeing that in the... In the modern mold, like, oh man, and with like that gold, like, I don't know if it's molded in that or painted, but oh, it looks so good. I want this so bad, and I'll probably never have it.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It's a bummer because usually these kind of things I can kind of brush them off, but for some reason, the sheer, I think it was, as someone who doesn't even like stickers that much, the fact that they made those stickers somehow won me over. Because it's like that extra step they went to really stepper up this guy, to make him look as stepper as possible.
I mean, the only thing we could hope for is a Hasbro release, but I have a feeling they'll probably pull like a Starscream and just maybe slightly change the color scheme or give us like a premium Jazz.
Yeah, I feel like that boat might have sailed too, as far as a mainline one, at least for the time being. Like,
yeah, who knows? I don't know, but I mean, they haven't done anything else with that mold yet, so I mean, they're going to want to reuse it eventually.
And there's an alternate head for it that was designed. Like, he comes from the era when they in CAD, at least, they have alternate heads for these guys.
Do you remember what that was?
I want to say it was a dude with a monocle, but I'm not sure.
I don't remember. It's been a while.
This is from a slideshow we couldn't take pictures of, so. By the way, that reminds me, those slideshows we can't take pictures of, I do not have the link ready right now because I am very ill-prepared, but there's a page right now about the making of Transformers toys. I know Nevermore has been linking it a lot, along with a bunch of other people. Look for it, because in there are some pictures of the, please do not take photos of these, PowerPoint slides we have seen at previous BotCons, and I think it's the first time those have been viewable to the public.
So, oh, okay. I saw that article, but I, for some reason, haven't had a chance to check it out yet. So
if anyone out there can... track down that article, because it is showing stuff. You will see some of the stuff that we get to see at BotCon, and I find it really interesting myself. You might not, but it's pretty cool stuff, design-wise. Seth, how are you feeling about Stepper?
Oh, it's definitely cool, but, like we're saying, it's going to be expensive if you got to get the Japanese one. So kind of a wait and see, but I mean, if it does become available domestically, I'm going to look for it.
Oh yeah, me too. I ended up really liking that Jazz Mold's robot mode's stance. It's weird. That's been my thing this year. Like, I really like robots in Transformers who look cool when they're standing. And, I'm ready for another Jazz. As for myself,
are you jazzed for a Jazz?
I'm jazzed and ready to step it up for another Jazz.
Oh, man, see, that's like three horrible puns and one new pick. But that's cool, because that's what we're all about tonight.
Blooding. What?
You ruined it.
I know. That's what I did.
One word. Everything I just said in the previous sentence, you ruined.
I was waiting for you to like raise the tree up. You're putting the roots in the soil all by yourself. You've given life to a new eternal plant, and I just took a chainsaw to it the moment you stepped away.
You pissed in the soil.
Yep. Hey, guess what I did? Oh!
And Seth just put the tombstone.
So Make Toys did an update today, or a couple days ago, about their third party, The Fallen. I don't know what name they're giving it, but it's their The Fallen-looking guy who has inexplicable power core connection points on him. And it looks like he also, his vehicle mode is in fact two vehicles, kind of Duocon style. So he's two tank things that combine together, possibly using power core technology, to form a robot who looks a lot like The Fallen. This is like so many levels of things that have nothing to do with each other in the same figure that I'm kind of into it. especially because it makes me imagine that you could potentially take pieces of this Fallen and maybe work them into Power Core guys or vice versa. And that could be neat too. Also in this update was a statement that Make Toys or Make Toy, I'm not actually sure, are planning to do a head fix for their battle tanker. Because apparently the boil the head process to do the head swap is not working for a lot of people. So they have this appendix pack coming out with a new version of the head that you just screw in place. And also a replacement ball joint in case you snapped the ball joint off the original toy, which isn't, that's nice to throw in there. My only question is, I don't entirely understand how they're going to get those appendix packs out to people. But then again, I didn't entirely understand how the Hercules dudes were going to get their parts fixes out either, and they figured out a way. So I'm sure this will be something that can be sorted out through emails or whatnot. But I want to see how this turns out, because I have been checking out reviews of Make Toy's first release, the Battle Tanker, and it sounds like, as far as its actual build quality goes, it is pretty darn solid, which is good. Because now there is a basis by which to think about their upcoming releases, which is that they seem to kind of know what they're doing. Have either of you guys had any interest in this weird Power Core Fallen-ish thing?
Yeah, I don't understand the linking in with the Power Core stuff. Like, I'd just assume that they just left that out and left it as just, you know, just the Fallen, because that's really all you need to sell this figure, I think. We've only ever gotten a single Fallen figure, and I mean, you know, the Dreamwave-esque one, which this is, not the movie Corruption. But and the Titanium, while one of the better Titaniums, and I like that toy, I think it's kind of cool. It's still a Titanium in the end.
It sure was a good Titanium.
It was a good Titanium, but it's like, you know, that's like saying a figure is a good Star Wars crossover.
That still sure is some good haggis for haggis.
Yeah. Oh, man. You just... Now I'm about to deal with this with Jai the next time I talk
I'm sorry.
This.
I couldn't resist. I was trying to think of something else, but all I could think of was haggis. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's all right. Like I said, I'm the one that's going to have to deal with it, not you. But, no, I think this looks great. I can't wait to see this colored, and I'm wondering if they're going to do something like similar with the Titanium, like kind of make the glowing vent covers or holes and stuff. It's like, I really want to see this painted, but even despite the weird nonsensical Power Core ports, which I hope to God they're not in all spark blue, please.
There's no way a third party would do that. They just want to troll the nuts out of us. We're like, please, yo guys, we are in complete control of the plastic colors we're pouring, so swivel on this middle finger, because we're doing all spark blue, suckers.
Please do not make those ports that shade of blue or anything. Just make them black, let them blend in, and then I won't care. That's fine. But that aside, this looks really good, and I've always been a fan of the Fallen design. It's such a good design, and I don't think it's ever gotten the justice it deserves in a toy. And if this is remotely affordable and the color scheme looks good, I'm going to be really tempted to get this, because I love that robot design so much.
Seth, how are you feeling about Make's The Fallen?
Well, it looks great. I mean, just even in this gray, the amount of detail is amazing. But by making it Power Core compliant, I mean, it's going to be pretty small. And like, personally, I would want a Voyager size The Fallen. So, I mean, the size is kind of a bummer, but...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, in a similar way like the little cassette guys that have come out recently through third party, it does seem impressive how much detail is going on in something so small. And this isn't that small, but still, it's going to be like kind of... wait and see. I've been saying that a lot lately, but
it's a good way to go about things.
I have to be a little more cautious these days. So, like, wait to see what it looks like all colored up and what the price is going to be. But I mean, it's impressive. I mean, what they have going on here is impressive, at least from the gray. But yeah, just have those power core points blend in with everything else, and like Germ, like Gog was saying,
now make them pink. They're super power core points.
At least the pink would maybe blend in with the orange. I don't know, but I'll tell you, I'd take pink over over that weird blue at this point.
We all got a Twitter question about that blue from Alan Garu today. I just realized.
That's totally why I use the phrase all spark blue.
I actually like that blue color. I just often find I don't like the way it. I love that blue color as like an energy that's peeking out from vents and stuff, but I don't really like it when it's like a full on block of that color, because I'm like, now I don't know what that's supposed to be. But Maki Toys the Fallen. I guess we'll get some more info on this as it comes. I also want to throw in one other new pick, because a friend of the podcast, Derek Jawiat, decided to color in a picture of animated Straxus as animated Generation 2 Straxus, with all kinds of animal print, and a rather lovely turquoise, and purple and green. And I wanted to bring this up because, guess what? DJW and I are running a contest, all right? He suggested this on Twitter. So, quote his Twitter post, first Twitter post, can we do some kind of G2 Straxus custom contest? Second Twitter post, like, we choose the best G2 Straxus custom, and I, Derek J. Wyatt, award it to myself, Derek J. Wyatt, as a prize. To that, I replied, quote, that seems fair to me. So, contest has begun. If you design a G2 Straxus custom and myself and DJW think it's the best one, Derek J. Wyatt will award it to himself as a prize. So, go for it. I think it's, you know what? I like the idea of that contest because I don't have to do any work because he's judging it.
It's going to be hard to top Derek's leopard print briefs on a robot.
But you got to represent it on a robot. It's got to look exactly like this design picture. I mean, he even provided like shaded parts of it, so you can tell what your palette can be like in shading and highlighting. I'm sure you can build this toy out of, you know, whatever it is you customizers build toys out of. The chest looks kind of like a Unicron crotch plate, so that's an easy spot to start with. Go for it. Contest begins now. That was the gunshot. That's also our new pick section.
What if I just sent in a picture of Pimp Destro?
Does he transform?
That's pretty close.
Does he transform?
Oh, you could lay him down.
If you
put his arms and legs flat.
If you could maybe attach a Unicron crotch to his chest, you know, like what I suggested, then maybe. Whoa! Right. Oreo totally name-dropped Pimp Daddy Destro in the front page story. And he bolded the name. You cannot type Pimp Daddy Destro without bolding that name. Excellent. Anyway, please do enter the contest. I'm sure it'll be totally fair and equitable. New picks are done. Hey, guys, I'm surprised you guys didn't mention the Transformers 4 rumor explosion. What with you being a Transformers podcast and all. So, Steven Spielberg, I heard from my friend on the grapevine, okay, Steven Spielberg totally wants Michael Bay to make Transformers 4. And he said, I hope so, because I think he made the best of the three with the last one. I certainly can't imagine anyone other than Michael being equipped to make another Transformers. He's invented a genre, and he's got the secret formula. And Michael Bay went like, aww. Huh. Well, how did I know someone's going to ask me that question today, said Michael Bay. I'm going to do a tiny movie first, and we'll talk about it if I potentially do it. And then the news carried on from there as IGN began reporting things, and the online magazine The Vulture blog began reporting things, and apparently Paramount is pushing to do Transformers 4, which was trending on Twitter, because that's what popular things do, and Michael Bay stopped by his website at one point, because, you know, the Vulture blog online magazine was saying things like the next cyborg saga, because Transformers are clearly cyborgs, is being the details of the next part is being kept secret, but, apparently, Transformers fans were really pumped about Sentinel Prime. I didn't know that, but the Vulture blog said so. And then Michael Bay stopped by his own website to tell his fans, well, studios are passing rumors, but I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm going to be making Pain and Gain earlier next spring, but that's it for now. I'm leaving all my options on the table. I've got several studio meetings in the next 2 weeks. But then Tyrese Gibson, being Tyrese Gibson, just showed up on Twitter and went like, Transformers 4 in motion! And that got everything rolling, and then all of a sudden someone anonymous on the TF Lam, I don't even know what that is, said something about, hey, Michael Bay likes to play these games to totally just friggin' troll people who dislike him and the Ebert crowd on Rotten Tomatoes. So, there is no news at all! But there's a whole lot of completely empty chatter, and if Michael Bay makes Transformers 4, I will be completely unsurprised. There we go.
This sounds eerily similar to
every other time.
Right, but what happened after the second movie when Michael Bay was like, I'm not coming back to direct Transformers 3 immediately. I'm taking a year off. I'm going to do something else, and then I'm going to come back to it.
And then Tyrese Gibson runs on a tour and goes like, yo, dudes! Guess what I heard?
And then Michael Bay, you know, they offered him a little more money, and he's like, all right, fine. You know, it's like,
Hey, guess what? Michael Bay may or may not do Transformers 4, and if he does, it's probably because the last one's made lots of money. There you go.
Can we just have a couple years to let Transformers Prime at least be the focus for a little while? Just for a little bit, you know?
Just so we
can have something that's the main something, not the movie for now, please?
Movie Forum moderator Seth Buzzard, what's your take on all of this amazing news from the Vulture blog, and likewise?
Well, I think Spielberg was misquoted when he said it was the best. I think what he meant to say was, I love money. Make more of it for me, Michael.
Hooray.
So then I could use that to fund stuff that isn't awful.
That is true, because Spielberg is in a really sweet position here, because all he does is have to say, like, three sentences a year to try to get Michael Bay's hype up, and as an executive producer, has to have zero role in this movie, but yet makes money off of it.
Hey, that's the Hollywood machine I'm learning about at school right now.
Yeah, like, let Bay go make the... I mean, and I don't want to sound too harsh, I mean... But, you know, it's the movie equivalent of fast food. It's McDonald's. It's processed. It's really kind of bad for you. But you enjoy it while you're eating it, and then you just feel kind of ill afterwards. That's kind of what these movies are, and that's what Michael Bay does. And just like, you know, there aren't like two McDonald's in every town because nobody goes there. So Spielberg's using that to fund, like, his organic friggin' vegan restaurant down the road, which are, like, you know, like, Super 8, which are, you know, like, those quality Amblin movies that you think of when you think of Spielberg, not the Transformer movies. So, I'm, you know, everyone's going to want there to be more Transformer movies because of the money. And if the ones that Michael Bay makes are making all the money, then of course you're going to want him to keep doing it and not risk somebody else not making that money. So I think Bay is going to keep doing this until they stop making money.
Yeah. And I don't mind if they keep making money, even if that's at the expense of the great and powerful American cinema. Because I'm playing with a wonderful Transformers Prime toy who was probably partially funded by the financial success of those movies. So I've been bought. Sorry, guys. I've been bought, and I'm happy. My toy's cool.
Well, and, you know, it's not only Michael Bay. I mean, you know, Adam Sandler is ridiculously rich, and people went to see Jack and Jill and The Waterboy and everything else that he does. And he keeps getting to make movies because they make lots of money. There's a market for it.
Yeah.
So.
Insert, you know, rant about Twilight. Insert rant about some other movie people generally don't like whose name I can't think of. That's movie blog stuff.
And you know, we could like be all kind of movie snobby about it and go, oh, you know, it ain't no Coen brothers, but there's, you know, a whole lot of people who think like There Will Be Blood is boring or weird. And
yeah.
No Country for Old Men was slow, and you know, it's different strokes for different folks.
Ooh.
But you know, as long as it's making money.
Yeah. So
Green Lantern is supposed to get a sequel too, so
I was talking on Twitter about that the other day. I didn't even really mind that movie that much. It was stupid. I'm not gonna defend it, but I've seen worse superhero movies.
It was a stupid movie for jerks, but you know, whatever.
Man, I have this one there's only one thing I did really bug me in Green Lantern, but it was the post-credit scene, so I can't talk about it. The movie's too new. Anyway. Transformers 4 may or may not happen. So there's our requisite discussion about Transformers 4 possibly or not
happening. Dun, dun.
It's going to happen. Dun, we just don't know what the details are going to be.
Spoiler guy's been at a spa. He's getting ready for Transformers 4. He goes and he has his vocal cords scraped with milk. Like they freeze milk into combs that scrape his vocal cords. And that's what he does for like a year and a half. Then he returns. Dude who wanted to... Someone... Oh, God. Now I forgot who suggested. Someone sent me a message saying you should have an episode of the podcast entirely populated by just the spoiler section guy. And I was like, do you have any idea what would happen to the throat that is trying to do that speaking after like half an hour of that? It would explode in a spray of crimson. Much like the veins on the foreheads of all kinds of really, really emotional people who watch lots of movies who are reacting to every Transformers 4 rumor. Anyway, that's our Transformers 4 talk. We got a listener question from Pajama Prime sent in late October. Hope you guys don't mind, by the way. I'm starting to kind of fall away from mentioning the dates because here's the thing. We got like 15 questions that all arrived on October 31st. So just assume that every question for the time being comes from October 31st. Listener question from Pajama Prime sent in via YouTube. He says, greetings, VASOPGD and or SB. Also, hi to LC and DA off in the cosmos somewhere. Drew Iden is spelt with an E, not an A. He's not Drew DeviantArt. Drew Aiden.
Drew Aiden.
I love that Drew Aiden. PJP here to ask you, lot of hooligans, some questions. Shift 8, smiley face, shift 8. One. I really love Repro Labels. I'm a big fan of the site and their products, enough to do reviews and previews on YouTube that were sanctioned by them for a small sponsorship. Congratulations, sir. I mostly frequent the classics section for my Chug Retsu. Yes, I'm trolling again. Figures. Are you a fan of the sets, and do you buy them? If so, what's your favorite? Seth, do you dig Repro Labels?
I have not had to buy any, but I mean, from everything I hear from people who do use them, they do great work. And, you know, I've perused their site in the past and looked at what they do. And it's great that they're there. Like if you need that stuff for, you know, you're fixing up an old vintage figure with all peeled nasty stickers or doing a custom and you need your bot and con logos. I mean, it's good that they're there to provide that service.
Absolutely.
I've never bought any, but seems like they do good work.
Gog, how about you? How's you and Repro Labels feeling?
I'm actually in the same boat. Like it's a service that I've always been glad that it's there, but I haven't had to take advantage of it yet. When I bought that Star Saber a couple years ago at BotCon, like I have one sticker that's kind of peeling back a little bit. But, you know, not enough to make me buy a whole new sticker set. But at the same time, I feel pretty comfortable that, like, well, I know that if for some reason, if I ever have problems with the stickers on this, I can, I mean, I think they have a Star Saber set. I've heard people mention it before.
Yes, I believe they do.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if I ever have problems with my 20-year-old toy, I can just buy a new set of stickers. And I think that's great. And thankfully, I haven't had to do that yet. But one thing that I actually have been looking into, and I'm saying this, yeah, I know, by the time this podcast airs, I will have looked it up. So don't assume that I'm speaking to you directly, please. But like my Predaking, when I bought that Predaking reissue earlier this year, I believe it was, or late last year, I don't remember, but sometime in the last 12 months, I bought a Predaking reissue. I had that on display. I packed it up, and when I moved, and when I was packing it all up, I realized the stickers were already peeling. And that reminded me, like, oh yeah, the sticker quality from recent GA1 reissues has been kind of crap lately. And I also remembered that the stickers, I believe, they made all new stickers for the new reissue. So I'm hoping that the Repro labels, if they don't already have the new stickers from the new Predaking, that they carry those. And if they do, because I actually probably look into getting those, because I was really bummed that my figure that was only about 6 months old already had the stickers all just falling off and peeling back and stuff. So I'm going to have to take a look and see if they have like the new updated 2011 version of Predaking stickers. But even so, like, I think that's a great service, and I'm the kind of guy who likes to buy reissues and new toys versus buy older vintage figures and re-sticker them up. But at the same time, I'm really glad that that service is out there, and maybe I'll make use of it one day. But at the very least, it feels comfortable that it's there. But yeah, thankfully I haven't had to use it yet.
Well, my me and Repro Labels is this relationship of embarrassment and guilt, which are two things I'm not used to experiencing because I'm generally flawless, as is illustrated by the timely fashion in which this podcast has been recorded. And basically, I have gotten some Repro Labels sets for old toys at conventions, and then I get home, and I promptly would lose them. And so to this date, I have never applied a Repro Label set to my knowledge, because I've lost all the ones I bought and forgot where I put them. And now my G1 toys are on the other end of the country, so I'm not really in a position to want to just go order some now, because I'm not going to be able to use them until I go back to BC. And then if I do that, I'll probably lose them in transit, because that's just how I am. And then on the other side of the coin, I love a lot of their upgrade sets they do for modern toys. I think that's some of the most fantastic stuff I've seen. And I've never bought any of it because I never want to mess up a toy where I only have one copy of it. I'm always like, oh, when I get a second copy of that toy, I'll get the Repro Label set. And I never do. So I have bought G1 stickers and lost them before I could use them, and then almost bought modern toy upgrade sticker sets, but never did. So don't follow my example at all in this case. I have utterly failed at Repro Labels for years. One of these days, I'm going to stop failing at it. But right now, I am like the worst user of Repro Labels on the entire planet, short of some guy who buys them all and then just eats them. But that's my story. Question number two, with a bunch of symbols, because he's playing coy with me here. What do you think of the Make Toy or Make Toy giant set being released in G2 yellow rather than the typical G1 green? Personally, I'm still torn. I might wait still until I see colored pictures to pass full judgment. I forgot how interested either of you guys were in the Make Make Toy Devastator. Seth, have you seen that it is being done in G2 colors?
Well, it was on a even number show when the news was discussed about it being G2 colored. So we did not comment on it. I would personally rather have it in green. I think you guys were saying that there's a gift set to come, like after all the individuals have been released, then they'll do like a group set. Which I'm kind of more interested in anyway. Like when we were first talking about the different not Devastators in production, I was hoping that this one was going to be just released altogether instead of one, or in the case of what it is, two at a time. So if the whole set comes out in green, I'm going to be more interested unless it's like $800, then I'm not interested at all.
All right.
So yeah, I would prefer green over the yellow, and personally.
How about you, Gog?
Yeah, I'm still not sure what I'm gonna do with this yet, because like, there's so many things out there that are that I want, and it's like the Devastator. Like, yeah, that is great that these are getting made. I'm like Seth. I would definitely prefer the green first of all, but even with the make Maki whatever toys version, yeah, they're doing the G2 colors first. You know they're gonna do a green. Like it is. Yeah, there's been no official announcement as far as I know, but it, come on, think about it. But on the other hand, I know several people, I believe Gerodimus, who was like, yeah, I'm actually kind of more excited about this, it being in G2 colors. So that's great. Like, and I think that's not a bad business model, because that's what Perfect Effect does. Like, they released the Rumble Frenzy mold, and they did it in black and called it Shadow Warrior. Mm-hmm. But everybody knew that they were going to do the G1 colored versions. So it's like, if you want this mold now in this, and yeah, the Shadow Warrior color scheme was kind of not official and nobody really had any attachment to that. But then they kind of learned the lesson with that. And then they did the Eject and Rewind mold, and then they did it in Rosanna. It's like, dude, that is crazy. And it's like, some people like me are like, I have to have that right now. That is amazing. And then they do the foregone conclusion version afterwards. And that's kind of what they're doing now. It's like, we're going to offer this mold first, and it's going to be in colors that, yeah, maybe not as mass appeal as the version that everyone knows is coming, but there's still an appeal there. And you know it's another version's going to come. And then it is. And then people are going to have their G2 versions and they're going to love it. And then you're going to, guess what? When the final version comes out, if there's any tweaks or anything to the mold that need to come out, then hopefully, I mean, that'll be done. With some companies, they'll definitely do that. But I don't have any experience with them, so it's hard to say. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I've seen several people that I know that are really excited about getting that in G2 color. So I think that's awesome that they're doing it. And it also helps them stand against the Hercules, because
yeah,
you're not having two of those guys released side by side in the exact same colors. So,
and guess what?
Hmm.
I was kind of, due to Hercules existing and having such an awesomely effective PR campaign, I had begun to forget about the Maki Toy Giant until the G2 thing came up, and I realized, hey, wait, all my nostalgia for Devastator is from his G2 colors. Suddenly, the Maki Toy thing has a reason to exist in my collection, regardless if I ever get into the Giant or the Hercules PFC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much a Gerodimus in this case. Like, yeah, that got me.
It also gives people an excuse to buy both.
Yeah.
You can have one if you don't want to buy the same molds twice. You can buy the Hercules in the G1 colors, and then buy the Make Toys in the G2 colors.
Yeah,
I think I said that right. Did I say G2 twice? I don't remember. But you can buy one in one and one in the other, and then you have two molds in two different color schemes. So I do think that this was a good choice on their part. Well, personally, if I was to get any of these, I would probably only get one set over the other, and it would be in the G1 colors. On the other, like, from an outside perspective, I think the choice that they made to put their version, which is coming out kind of in the shadow of the Hercules, at least initially, I think that's a really smart decision on their part, and I think it's going to pay off for them, to be honest.
And also, G2 colors, to me, adds the extra, I see this as a quality because I like this. It adds that extra little quality of, all right, suddenly we're in crazy dreamland world where Hasbro goes like, yo, we shut down the third parties because we're going to do a G1 Devastator or whatever, right? Being a G2 Devastator is like that extra little step to be very much entirely the toy that would never appear in the main line. Because if a G1 styled combining Devastator were to even happen in mainline Transformers, it would never be in G2 colors. What with the G1 green having so much behind it right now. And like the G1 green even appearing with the movie Devastator in that Legends set. I kind of like, that's another reason why I kind of like the G2 yellow. It's like the fringe of the fringe in a way, outside of that weird multicolored knockoff set. Anyway, question number 3. Do you think that Human Alliance should come back with the Prime line? It would be perfect for all of the humans to get an articulate figure to work along with their Autobot partners, June with Ratchet and Fowler with Optimus Prime, and I'm assuming the kids with their buddies. Thanks again for answering my questions with mild humor to brighten my day. Sincerely, Pajama Prime. Guys, we're only mild. I'm sorry. But Human Alliance Prime. GOG. He suggested some really imaginative stuff like June with Ratchet and Fowler with Optimus Prime, but the obvious one, Jack with RC. Poseable Jack with maybe a slightly larger RC. I think it's like the most logical thing to ever be done myself. And I think we've said this before. I'm having deja vu now.
I think so, but okay. Here's the thing. I'd like to see that happen, but scale is going to be the issue here because so far Human Alliance, from what I understand, has all been basically 1/24th scale, like alternator scale. Now the current Human Alliance is basically in the same scale, like even with just the generic humans that come, like, you know, whatever those guys are. Major, what's the guy's name that you like so much?
Major Cock Tease. I'm
sure. Yeah, that guy. But all those guys, so they're basically the same scale. But we've seen motorcycles at that scale. That's the scale for motorcycles at that size class is pretty small. Like we saw like the motorcycle that came with Jazz.
Yeah.
There's no way you'd get a decent RC out of that. So I think that this is a great idea, but I think that they would have to increase the scale because I would want to see an RC that's bigger and more detailed than the initial first edition deluxe that we've gotten. But in order to do that, like I've seen action figures on that RC before, and 3 3/4 scale figures work great with that RC. So, but if it, like I said, if I had my way, it would be bigger. Like even RC would be at the deluxe class, but then I guess the toys would have to be even bigger. So that probably wouldn't work. So, yeah, it would scale would be like a really big issue with that because then if you'd have Prime, you'd want a figure to sit in Prime, but that would either be a giant ass Prime or a tiny ass human, and then every other figure in that line would have to fit in there. So that would mean, you know, you'd probably have to do kind of the similar current Human Alliance scale human to go with a Prime, but that would mean, like, yeah, I guess the cars and everything would work fine, but then RC would kind of be small and worse than the one we've gotten. So, you know what? I'll say this. I'd say, see, and I don't even know if I agree with what I'm going to say. I don't agree with myself. But, like, it would be cool if every character, or like, every version of the main cast had a nice kind of definitive version that came with a human, but even then, they wouldn't really be in scale because you're not going to want an RC that small. So I'd say, yeah, but I don't know. I don't, like...
What about, yeah, but do something that is so awesome we can't actually imagine it ourselves until we see it in person?
If we're going off of just what we want, which I guess that's the whole purpose of the listener question, but this is not something that would ever possibly happen. I'd love to see a Human Alliance type line that came with characters at maybe just slightly smaller than the 3 3/4 scale figures, like all the other Hasbro lines currently right now, and just do that regardless of the size. So Prime would be flipping huge. Bumblebee would probably be maybe slightly larger than the regular Human Alliance now, and then that would give us a good excuse to have another shot at an RC with a, you know, a nice articulated little Jack figure. But yeah, I'd say bump up the scale for Human Alliance. And yeah, it might not fit in with anything else, but at least it would fit with itself. And we'd get a nice RC. We'd get some fairly large detailed, what are currently deluxes. They'd be, you know, at this point, large Voyagers, and just go whole hog with a Prime. That'll give an, ex- That'll, you know, that would justify the ultimate optimist. Because yeah. I think that ultimate optimist is kind of derpy. So, you know what? Let's have a go at that with the Prime. Make it giant, huge, expensive, in scale with the others, with a opposable figure to go with it. Yeah.
And go make us a Transformers 4 to fund all this. We'll be set.
Bittersweet.
Seth, how about with your experience in Human Alliance and Prime, how would you feel about mixing the two?
Well, I mean, it's basically everything Gog was just saying. I mean, scale has always been just out the window with Transformers. I mean, from the very beginning, like, toys just aren't in scale with each other, except for, like, by accident a lot of times. And with that original Human Alliance line, that was kind of the first time they had something that forced things to be in scale, which is, this is the size of a human, make it work. So yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think you would be able to do all of Prime. Like, even the scenario that Gog came up with bumping up the median size of everything, it's just, I don't think it would work in the end. Like, everything would be so expensive and be so big. I don't even know if retailers would want it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, maybe do one. Like, do that RC and Jack. And they're from, you know, kind of what I gather, they seem to be, in a lot of ways, the stars of the show. So maybe you could just do that one bigger or similar sized RC with the 3 3/4 G.I. Joe / Marvel / Star Wars size Jack. Or just do a line of just the human characters in 3 3/4 and don't worry about them being in scale with the transforming toys at all. Because, you know, why are they going to start getting hung up on scale now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that's like the pipe dreamy nature of this is a lot more palatable to me than the part where I start thinking about the reality of corporate America and the way that these toys are made.
But I think that would be rad if they just did a Transformer human toy line at that scale and, you know, hit all the characters or loads of characters. Like, a Wave could have a couple Prime characters, a G1 character, and a Unicron trilogy character.
Oh, absolutely. That would be a fun line to look into, I think.
Yeah, like, you could have Jack, Nico, Spike, and I just forgot his name. Well, it wasn't Stepper, was it? What was a
Kicker?
Kicker.
Yeah.
I knew it had something to do with feet.
So Wave 1 would leave Raph out.
Well, yeah. And then you have, like, the special friends wave that has Raph and Chip in it. That's awful.
Oh, man, I want to go away from this question. thank you for your question, Pajama Prime. Guys, you know what makes me feel better about everything is muffins. And you know what makes muffins better? Chaos. So we have a listener question from Mr. Chaos Muffin, part of the Oct 31 deluge. He says, "Hey amigos, what's your thoughts on the old quick change style cyber jets? Not all of them, only the ones that flipped into robot mode just by folding the nose down. Do you think they should evolve those molds or the ideas of having a poseable figure that can just transform in a second? Quick-changing robots these days have big heads and are geared directly towards the kids. That sucks. Rage." In a word, yes, I want to see effective flip-changey guys come back. I think that they were onto something with animated activators and then completely lost it when they went to movie activators. Animated activators were really becoming something cool, especially if you look at the Wave 1 ones versus, like, some of the final ones. Like, that's Activator Soundwave is fantastic. And I'm really bummed, much like with Power Core Combiners, actually, or with Scouts, that something that was really going somewhere is done and has disappeared. Animated activators were tremendously underappreciated, in some cases for good reasons. Like, you know, for all intents and purposes, as far as I know, animated lockdowns activator was junk. But they really were becoming something cool, and I would love it if they somehow came back again. I think they could have evolved into something really cool like the Cyber Jets. But I don't know. Seth, do you have a love for the flip changey Transformers?
I mean, they can be fun, but also they're going to be limited as to how detailed and articulate they can be. You know, going back to the originals, like Twin Twist and Top Spin, and all the way to the animated ones. And those Beast War ones, like I have that Crocodile Megatron. And it just brings in too many limitations for me, and I don't really like spring-loaded anything. Like I can't stand spring-loaded missile launchers and stuff, so I'd just rather not have springs involved personally.
Well, Gog, how do you feel about springs and or loading them?
I actually agree with exactly what you said. I think with animated, it was like, yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, hey, guys, we're going to change our entire scout class into, like, this gimmick. But, like, as I've said before, like, Transformers already has a gimmick. They transform. So it was kind of cool that the gimmick of this was, hey, they transform, but it kind of does it automatically, you know? It's like, yeah, they've had Automorph and stuff before, but at least that size class, it was unique, and for, you know, it gave you a reason to buy the same character twice. Like, you know, you'd have your deluxe Bumblebee. It's like, well, why would you want a smaller Bumblebee that's less detailed? Oh, well, you push this button and he pops into place, and then he's just a couple parts. And I also agree completely with you. Like in Chaos Muffin's question, you know, hey amigo, hey Chaos, you know, I like saying his name. He's a good guy. What's his name on YouTube? Low Big. Check him out. Is it L-O-E-B-I-G?
Storm Shadow fights Snake Eyes in this stunning video series.
Yes. Low Big brings the lols. He has the best reviews on YouTube, you know, except for you, of course.
Oh, no, no. I mean, he's reviewed toys that I can't review anymore because he did them. And I can't touch that territory. That's like a wolf peeing on a dog's territory.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Like he said, like, to quote, quick changing robots these days have big heads and are geared towards the kids. That's true. You know, and there's two different things with that. Like, the movie activators, they took, and I don't have any, so I'm not speaking from experience, but just the aesthetics of them were like, ugh. And it really seemed to be a step backwards and took any interest I had from the activators concept completely away. I think that they did bring that back a little bit with the rescue bots, but it's definitely,
about them.
Yeah, like he said, it's geared towards kids. And I think that's cool. And it's really cool if you're a parent and you have a very young kid. Like, because that's something that you have my full recommendation if you have like a kid who's like, you know, 4 years old or younger, like, yeah, like get them a Rescue Bob Bumblebee and see if they like it.
Cause it's, I almost bought the Optimus Prime a couple times cause he's on sale for like 13 bucks at Zellers. And I was like,
I saw the second wave today. The green bulldozer dude looked kind of neat. I thought the police car looked a little doofy, but I think there's a third one in that wave, a helicopter, but they didn't have, I only saw it on the cross sell on the back of the card. They didn't have that one in person, but I actually want to see what that helicopter looks like in person.
I got to throw a shout out here to Phil Reed at BattleGrip.com, Battle Grip, because I didn't really think about rescue bots until Phil Reed just went ape nuts over the Optimus Prime rescue bots, and then he went out and I think he's bought everything. he did a really quick video of that Prime just transforming like three times, and he was like, There's something just, there was something utterly glorious to him about the way it worked. And then I was watching that video and I was like, it's like, that is awesome how that thing works.
I mean, it's like I said when I bought the Bumblebee, it's like, it's minimal input and it just seems like exponential output. Like you just do this tiny little thing and it seems satisfying. And that's why I think for little kids, like it's really cool because they're not having to manipulate these parts. There's like one thing that you do on that figure and it just, the actuation of it all just feels very satisfying. It's like clunk chunk.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. But yeah, but I mean, like Chaos Muffin said, that's definitely geared towards kids much more so than the animated activators were. But absolutely, if they wanted to bring back the Scout class and bring them back as activators, I'd be completely down with that. So, but I think that's the quick change gimmick done right for the most part. You got a couple duds here and there, like the Lockdown. But like the Cliff Jumper and the Sound Wave, those are really cool little dudes.
That Sound Wave was glorious.
Yeah, and it gives you an excuse to buy a smaller version of an existing figure. Other than like with the Legends and stuff, it's like, well, if you've already got if you've already got a Voyager Megatron, there's not really much of a reason for you to buy a smaller one. I mean, maybe that's a bad example because with the movie one, like that Cyberverse Commander was really cool. But yeah, for the most part, like even those Cyberverse Commanders, like I don't feel any need or reason to rebuy the same figures at a smaller scale unless they're just absolutely amazing and stand apart. But with the Activators gimmick, it gives you a reason to do that, and you feel satisfied picking up these guys twice.
Absolutely. I would love to see some spring-loaded stuff like make its way into the mainline and take what, as far as I can tell, some really cool lessons in automated transformation from Rescue Bots and apply it into some of the more posable toys we have over in our mainline area. But, yeah, that's a great question, Chaos Muffin. I low you big. We got a voicemail from Unknown. Oh, man. This came in June, and I'm going to play it for you guys now. Are you ready? Hope so.
I'm born to get ready.
Oh!
Born with an E at the end?
Hey, guys. Question for all you guys. Don't really care. You can answer it on whatever episode. But okay. Wanted to know, what's your preference if they ever decide to do another Masterpiece line? It pretty much seems like it's been G1. I would love to see some crazy articulated $200, $300 models from another line. My preference right now, let's see. I would love to see one animated Masterpiece model. That'd be pretty interesting to see. But what are you guys' thoughts? Later.
That was a real soft click. I don't know if I even can count that one. If they did animated, they'd have to do Slipstream if it's a Masterpiece. I think people would throw things if animated got another toy. I think at this point, if animated ever does another toy and it isn't Slipstream, someone is going to complain. That's how it kind of feels. But that's a cool question, though. What kind of non G1 Masterpiece toys would you like to see? I don't know, Seth. Who would you like to see in non G1 Masterpiece?
G2 Smokescreen, or no, there wasn't one, was there?
Nope.
I just tried to grab an Autobot out of my head. it's getting late. Yeah, G2 character, the stupid joke. Yeah, I don't know, like animated, that's an interesting suggestion, but with how the animation models are pretty, you know, simplified in design, like that Derek Wyatt style, which is kind of sleek and to the point without a lot of unnecessary detail, or well, maybe unnecessary isn't the right word. I just don't know if there's enough to an animated character to warrant a Masterpiece size and complexity.
Oh,
but who knows? Maybe they would do something unbelievable. But
Omega Supreme. It's so obvious. Why didn't I say that first? Sorry.
Oh, from animated.
Yeah, yeah. I just realized.
Well, that would be cool because then
that's the one
at that size. He would be closer to in scale with the animated figures you already have.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting suggestion. But what might be like crazy would be a Masterpiece Beast War figure.
Mm.
Like with actual fur.
Yeah. And like some of that and crazy Hot Toys rubber skin.
And finally a Dinobot without little weird things on the chest. Finally Dinobot.
They'd pointedly work those in.
There would purposely be an alternate transformation where you could just have these little stubby arms folded up on the chest.
Even though I'm not a huge fan of Beast Formers, I prefer like the mechanical animal type of beast modes to realistic animal. But if they were to do a Beast War character, I would want them to do like a biological animal mode. Just, you know, be a little more of what it originally was. And just to see how it would come out. Like, I probably wouldn't even want it, but I would want to see how it would work out.
Mechanical Animal was my new wave band back in the about 10 years ago.
It's kind of late for new wave.
It's not the newest wave.
That's why it's not around. That's why it's not around anymore. Thanks for rubbing it in, Seth.
It's all right. Well, we can't all be Freezy Pop.
I'm going to rename Seth Buzzard to Salt Buzzard because he likes to pour salt in my wounds all day.
Lord,
Salty Buzzard.
I want to see Masterpiece Wolfang and repaint Masterpiece K-9. That'd be awesome. Beast Master.
Salty Buzzard was the name of a restaurant I had about 10 years ago.
They'd have to be called Transformers Beasterpiece.
Beasterpiece.
No, Beast Wars, that's a really interesting idea because of also just all the, like, going mixed media with that, I think, would be pretty badass. Although I'm not sure if that would be in the scope of Takara Tomy at this point. I'd still love to see it. Gog, what about you? What kind of bent would you like to see put on Masterpiece?
Well, my the first thing that comes to mind when you're talking about Slipstream, how about a, you know, War for Cybertron Slipstream? That's a figure that I want to see made somehow or another because I love that design. I think it's awesome and it's sad because we're never going to get a toy of it. But if we want something more realistic, how about Armada Starscream? Because that is an awesome character design. Again, he got a toy. I think it's kind of crap. I have it. I got a couple versions of it, and it's not that great. But the animation model, I think, is awesome. And I think Armada Starscream deserves a revisit, one form or another. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And the Masterpiece would definitely give him more of the ability to work in like the sword wing gimmick and all that stuff to a level of detail that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise at a different class.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know myself what I'd like to see out of Masterpiece in a real quirky bent other than like, I don't know, just weird stuff that shouldn't happen, like Masterpiece Signal Lancer or something like that, like with LEDs and stuff in the traffic light mode. If it's not going to be G1 stuff, I'm kind of always defaulting towards Unicron Trilogy with this sort of thing. There are so many Unicron Trilogy designs I want to see engineered better, like Starscream or Sideways, from Armada, or Tidal Wave. Masterpiece Tidal Wave would be awesome. Make him actually float. He's like a bath toy. I don't know. Yeah, Unicron Trilogy, I think, is really where I would start looking for alternate Masterpieces myself, or comic book dudes. I don't know if that's G1 or not, because Transformers G2 had some cool designs. I'd love to see them. I want to see like a G2 Liege Maximo, and just to see what kind of alternate mode they'd come up with for that crazy guy.
How about IDW Dying Atlas?
I would kind of like to see that. Yeah, I would really like to see that.
Hot Toys making Masterpiece human characters.
Hot Toys making I don't know.
Masterpiece Spike.
Masterpiece Kiss Play Marissa Fairborn.
I want to see Medicom Cross Enter Bay make Masterpiece Spike.
You've been listening to Pre-Order 66.
They only make Toyota Satsu stuff.
I'm not on that episode yet. I can't comment. I'm two episodes back. I want to see Toyota Satsu Masterpiece Spike in his exosuit that transforms, done by Medicom Enter Bay. It'll come with one alternate finger and cost $500.
And look pissed.
All the time. Anyway, hope that answers your question, unknown voicemail man. I think it's a good time for an intermission so we can come back and talk about what we got this week. And I can talk about one of the prime reasons why, I was maybe 5 minutes late today.
Mm-hmm. Or 5 hours.
Something like that.
One or the other.
Something between that, yeah.
Just flip a coin.
And we'll talk to you in a bit. Intermission time.
Boom. All right, I'm a pee.
How can you tell if you're looking at a real Texan? Some say it's the boots. Others say the hat. But the real way is the buns.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with WTF at TFW177. It's that time for some of that what have we gotten for this week. We're going to talk about toys we got. We're going to start off talking about Transformers that we got. Gog, I want to know if you got any Transformers.
I did.
Is the drought over?
Kind of, yeah. Actually, I think it is, because I got the end of one line and the beginning of another.
Oh.
So that's kind of nice, I guess, to lead one into the other like that, at least for stuff that I'm interested in.
Hmm.
I guess with the way I set that up, I need to go into the ending of the line first. I got the last wave of Generations.
Goodbye, Generations.
Black Shadow and Junk Heap, or Sky Shadow if you're,
picky.
But I am not going to refer to him as Sky Shadow from here on, so. Black Shadow is awesome. I think that a lot of people don't like the Thunderwing mold. And for reasons I can understand. I would never argue with someone who said that they weren't into it like they were some of the other Generations figures. But I think Black Shadow is way more awesome than Thunderwing. His color scheme is great. The new molded head is great. The retooling on the chest, awesome. If you compare it to screenshots of the animation model, it's kind of creepy how accurate it is. It looks really, really good. The paint and everything, like they used silver bits. The chest piece is silver with a bit of gold paint as well. His ears and face are silver. He's got silver paint on his wings along with the red. The red paint is great. It's such a great color scheme. If you didn't like the Thunderwing mold, I would say if you don't have this mold, at least pick this up. Or at least look into it. Give this mold another shot. Because I really do think that this is far and away superior to the original. What's cool is, too, is when you fold his chest bit up to hide the face in jet mode like you did with Thunderwing. Thunderwing had a pretty small head, so that chest piece would just cover it. Like, the head would fit into that cavity that was over it. But Black Shadow has kind of the robot ears. And the ears are designed perfectly so that when you flip the chest piece up, they fit right on the outside of that chest piece. So the ears stick out. It looks cool in jet mode, but... Yeah, I really, really, really like this figure, even for a repaint with a slight retool. It's so good. I'm into it really hardcore. And the jet mode, like the colors in the jet mode look so good. I think it blows Thunderwing away, and I really like Thunderwing too. So
you're not the only person I've heard say that Black Shadow is basically like the better version of that mold.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, and I, again, comparing it to like the animation model, like there's like multiple colors of gray. It's like the gray on his little hip panels and his upper leg and feet are like the gray on his arms and shoulder pieces are a darker gray. And when you look at the animation model, it's exactly the same there. So, or maybe the toy, because it takes cues from both. But, I thought that was really cool. Like they could have easily just molded it all in the same gray, but it's just a slightly different shade and it's accurate to the original. So very, very cool. And so, yeah, pick it up because especially too, because Generations is going to get phased out. I mean, we've known since, I think BotCon, they had said that Generations is going to go through the end of the year, but like if you've been following Transformers toys recently, like, you know, and this, I mean, this isn't a recent phenomenon. This is something that's always happened, but the last wave of a line, especially like a collector's centered line like Generations, sometimes the last wave of those toys is kind of hard to find. I've already seen reports of some Walmart saying that they're no longer going to stock any of those waves. So I don't know how true that is or if it's more kind of exaggeration or people worrying a bit, but like if you have any interest, like, you know, it's like $11. Just grab one before you regret it, and then they're impossible to find.
That's my quandary. Is in Canada the only place that he and is it Junk Heap?
Yes,
yeah, Junk Heap.
Just Junk Heap.
The only place that he and Junk Heap have shown up are at comic stores through Diamond Distributing. So for me to pick one of those up right now, the only place I know of that has them in feasible distance is selling them for $25 plus tax.
Each?
Yes. That's why I was like, first I was like, oh, hey, they're out. I should go and, no, wait. Wait. That's $25. Add tax. It's going to be just shy of $30 each.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay that.
I also did get Junk Heap.
Hey.
Junk Heap's cool. I have to say, I prefer comparing the Junk Heap head, which is this retool, to the Scrap Heap head, which was the Rekgar retool that eHobby released in Japan as part of their Autobot 3-pack, because a few months ago, they did an Autobot 3-pack and a Decepticon 3-pack. The Decepticon 3-pack were Galvatron, Scourge, and Cyclonus, all in the translucent plastic, which is supposed to be like their reformatting versions when they're, you know, being created at the in the 86 movie. And then they released the Junkion Scrap Heap, and he had a unique head. I love that head, and I always hope that when we got the retool version of that in America, North America, Hasbro property areas, countries, that we would have gotten that head. And we didn't. And I don't hate the head. I think it's cool. And I think it's cool that there's three Junkion heads out there. But I'd really like to see Hasbro maybe down the road do another release of this mold with that third head. That would be really cool, because I think that's the best head besides Rekgar. But that aside, all that silver paint that I spoke of really highly with Black Shadow, it's also on this mold as well, and it's done really well. It's not all over the place. He's got a lot of gray plastic, which is fine. I don't think it's bad, but like his feet have that silver paint, and other bits all over, like the lower part of his torso, his head, and a little bit on his foot, which becomes the part right up, or his leg, which becomes the part with the Autobot logo right above the headlight of the motorcycle. But yeah, I think he's done really well. His axe, like the blades of his fold out axe that become his tailpipe, like the actual blades of those are molded in yellow, so that breaks it up a little bit from Rekgar. But it was cool to finally be able to have Rekgar ride a Junkion, because I haven't done that yet, because I had never bought a second version of this mold.
Oh, yeah,
and it works really well. I mean, it's not like a super tight lock, but I'm kind of glad, because it fits in there well enough for him to sit. It's not going to fall out. There's a little bit of wobble, but that little bit of wobble actually kind of helps when you are posing it. Like, it's not locked in there. Like, you click, and now it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it stays, but it also has a little bit of a give for when you're posing it. So, it's a fun gimmick. Designed. Yeah, it's a fun gimmick. I'm really glad that they included that. And, I know I'm late to the party for all the people that bought multiples of Rekgar, but I only bought one because, you know, there's only one Rekgar, but I guess I could have bought him to part out or whatever, because I've seen people do that too. Like, they've been buying, they had extra Rekgars and junk heaps, and they started mixing and matching parts on them to make junk yawns. So, I thought that was a cool idea. But, yeah, he's great. And so I had ordered both of these from Hasbro Toy Shop. I take that back. Totally misspoke. I ordered them both from the club store because the club store had put out pre-orders for these. And I was really lucky because in the beginning, they offered these as a set. And I think I either late in the first day or the next day, they realized, wait a minute. We can't do this. We got to pair these up with other guys that we got to sell. So I think they paired Junk Heap up with maybe Wheeljack and then Black Shadow up with a different Generations bot. So I was really lucky because I was able to get the case by itself. And apparently there was a small percentage of people that happened to, because I know that when I had gotten my Junk Heap was still for sale on the club store, but he was paired up with a Wheeljack, and everybody's got Wheeljack by this point, I think. So he was still there. People had, you know, they did it to get Black Shadow, but for some reason the Junkion was still there, I think. But yeah, and I'm not a big fan of that practice, especially when they put it up one way and then decide to, like, wait a minute, we need to do this the other. And I understand why they do it, but it's like, it's less incentive for you to order from the club store when they do that. And so I think that's kind of a shame, but you know, I don't know all the details of the logistics, so whatever. And I feel lucky that I was able to get my set, but I did a few days after I got mine in, I found the Wave locally at Walmart, and I said, why not? I'll buy another Junkion. So I ended up buying two Junk Heaps. So yeah, that's cool. And hopefully, you know, it remains to be seen if he's going to have any of the problems that the other one have, or the Rekgar had. I really hope that I don't get random joint cracks in this one after transforming him twice or three times. That would be nice. The hands apparently still have the problem with the stress marks by putting the weapons in the hands. I found that, probably old news to a lot of people, because I never put the hand in any other hand besides the right hand. But I did notice that when you put the weapon in the left hand, it stresses it a lot more than the right, just because of the hands are actually not molded equally. They're different shapes. So I'm just going to keep the axes in the right hands, I think. But so yeah, that's the last wave of Generation Deluxes. And I think the line, even though it was two retools of figures that we've gotten previously, I think it went out on a really high note. I have to say they're both really great figures, and
that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Black Shadow, it's like, what else are you going to mold Thunderwing in? But at the same time, it's like, wow, like it's kind of a niche character, and I'm really kind of surprised that it got made. Like I said, Japan, from their perspective, maybe it's not as big as a surprise because, you know, they have some say-so, and that was the only version of that mold they got, so maybe it was obvious from the beginning, but I'm still thankful that we got it. I think it's really awesome. Third Transformer I got this week, I got me a Prime Deluxe Starscream.
Oh, I'm very happy because I kind of think he's the best one.
I think so. I will say that. I think out of the three deluxes that I've had my hands on, because I got the Bumblebee and RC from the New York Comic Con Marble Mouth. But, yeah, his jet mode's a little fat. It's not bad at all, though. It's, you know, especially compared to some of the plane formers that we've gotten over the past couple years or so, definitely passable. But
yeah, it's no Terra Dive, but nobody else is Terra Dive.
Correct. Absolutely. That said, The robot mode is fantastic. This is an A-plus robot mode figure. Like, it more than makes up for any shortcoming this figure has. He's absolutely outstanding. I think this might be probably my second favorite figure released this year behind Lugnut. I really like Lugnut. I don't know. I've just always liked him, but this really came close to being like, wow, this is in the running for figure of the year for me. Mm-hmm. He's so expressionable. And I was really happy to hear, because Aaron had talked about it last week, and he had mentioned about mistransforming it. And the first couple times I transformed it, I think I did that on accident. Because I was just watching TV. I think I was watching a movie a couple times and fiddling with him. And I had transformed him. And then third time I transformed him, I realized like, oh yeah, he's got his hunchback now. But wait a minute, I didn't remember that. And then I realized like the first couple times I did it, I was just kind of going through, not really paying attention. I had mistransformed it, but it's still kind of neat that you can do that, because if you don't peg in that backpack piece, it'll kind of ride up, but everything still clicks in really solidly. So like I've seen people complain like, I don't really like the hunched over look of it. And that is accurate to the animation model. Like, that's how that character looks in the show. But if you're not a fan of that, you can still enjoy this figure because you can transform it without that, if for some reason you wanted to do that. So I was happy to hear that Aaron had done that as well. But just the crazy amount of emotions. Like, this figure, when I was messing with it, like the first day I had it, it's the first time in a long time where, and it might be too, that I've just gotten some Figmas lately, but it's like, this figure for me, especially seeing how expressionate his face is in the show, like, this is the first Transformers figure in a long time where I've looked at it and I'm like, I really wish that I had swappable faces for this guy. Like, he needs an oh crap face and a surprised face. Like, he's so expressionate in the show, and just like having him with a smile and everything, it's like he's at the very least he needs like a oh crap Megatron's pissed at me face or something. Like, I don't know, but I don't see Transformers, at least in the U.S., doing that anytime soon. But like, I think with characters like this, it would actually really go a long way, and I think people might actually be into that.
I think that would be a really cool idea myself. I agree. Like, he's so expressive. Perfect example. Every picture I see of that Starscream makes me pause and go like, oh man, I want that toy. And then I realize I actually have it, because like, every photo of that toy just makes it look so good. Like my friend on Twitter, Dashiana, just took a photo of that Starscream. Same effect happened. Just this really cool close-up photo, but between the expressiveness of the joints and just the, I think, the really good paint job in the metallics, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just always think like, man, that looks like a masterpiece. I want that toy. And I'm like, oh, wait, I have it. I can mess with it whenever I want. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's really nicely done.
But just moving his arms around and stuff, it's like, there's no, like, it's hard to make this guy not look great. Because no matter what position you put his arms in, or his head, like, it just looks like it's purposeful, and it looks like something straight out of the show.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't, like, every time I pick this guy up, I can't put him down. I'm still looking forward to picking up the Voyager version, but I'm having a really hard time thinking that the Voyager is going to outdo this guy. And I'm sure that the Voyager is going to have its pros. Like, there's probably going to be parts of that Voyager where, like, yeah, this is really cool. I'm assuming this point that the vehicle mode will probably be a lot better.
That's what, but I think its draw is going to be. It's probably a cleaner jet mode.
But I'm having a hard time believing that the Voyager robot mode is going to be unequivocally better than this. Like you comparing them side by side and being like, oh yeah, that Voyager in every way is better than the Deluxe. Like, I can't see that happening, because This is just a knock out of the park.
Whenever I see someone saying, oh, I'm skipping the Deluxe Starscream for the Voyager, I just want to shake them really hard and go like, no, listen, this isn't about the character or the series he's from. This is about the fact that it's one of the best Deluxe toys to come out of Transformers all year.
Yeah,
like absolutely. Regardless of who the character is. If you don't like who the character is, just pretend his face is different, because as a toy, this is incredibly done.
Mm-hmm.
This is what always comes up with this toy. The fact that his tiny ass jet mode becomes such a giant robot in comparison. Yeah. It's beautiful. There's so many qualities to that toy. And so, like, the only major weakness that toy has is that the front of his waist points forward in jet mode in a way that's kind of ugly. But that is such a tiny problem.
I'd say that's even more like accentuated by the fact that he's got landing gear right there.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks a little derpy, but you know, worst case scenario, if you don't really care about the landing gear, you could probably just clip that off and file it down a little bit, and it would be fine. But it doesn't bother me enough to do something like that. But I'm still really impressed at how they gave him like the double wing on the back. He's got his plane wings, and then the tail fin splits and becomes the two smaller wings. Like, just, you know, it's like, I like it just, like, you look at him and you just compare him to the animation model. And yeah, of course, the animation model is, you know, they're not going to get all that in, all that detailing and stuff into what's basically like a fairly small deluxe, but
yeah.
It's still, it's way more accurate than it has any right to be. Especially for, you know, a first wave toy that's really not even in the proper wave. But yeah, I really, really, really recommend that. And anybody, if you see this toy, if it's an issue that you can't afford it, then that's one thing. But if you can't afford it and you're not sure, go ahead and just pick it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you end up not liking it, then, you know, chew me out and I will apologize to you publicly. I have no problem with that, but I have a feeling that at the very least you're going to be like, okay, yeah, this is a lot cooler than I expected it to be. And that's if you're on the fence, but like,
Remember the first time I messed with that toy at TFCon when, like, PR just pulled it out and I was like, can I just see that? And he's like, sure. And I was just messing with the thing and I was like, I can't believe how well done this is.
I can't believe this is a Wave 1 toy.
Well, this, I think it's a perfect example, and I think it's actually evidence. It is utmost evidence that those first edition Prime toys, at least those deluxes, those must have been designed for generations.
Yeah.
Because it does not feel like a first wave toy at all. Like Bumblebee has qualities that kind of feel first wavy, but RC and Starscream, and even parts of Bumblebee, are so advanced that they must be an extension of something. Like Bumblebee's chest, for all the misfires and how it comes together, the very nature of how his chest is trying to transform is kind of amazing. Those first edition toys are real winners. Starscream being just the biggest winner of them all, I think.
He is, and I like that RC a lot. You know, it's got its faults, but I'm a big fan of the RC. But, you know, just looking at these toys unbiased, like Starscream out of those first three deluxes, easy winner. So because I remember you talking about Megatron, but how do you think that deluxe Megatron compares to the Starscream? Do you think he's better? Do you still think Starscream is the better figure?
I think Starscream is still a little bit better. Okay. That Megatron has a few little faults here and there, and like really little ones, but just stuff like just like joints not having quite the range of motion, the robot mode. Like, the fusion cannon is a little bit small. Like, this is a case where it's like, Starscream is basically such a well-done toy that his flaws, to me, can be counted on one hand.
Right.
That the way I compare other Prime figures to him is I go, like, all right, take these two figures. Starscream has, like, one or two flaws. How many flaws does this have? And if it's more, then I say, okay, Starscream still comes out on top because he just has so few flaws. Like, with RC. RC has flaws in, like, and these are real nitpicky, but the backpack, the size of the shoulder pads, and those big blade things are three major things that Starscream doesn't really have. And then RC is also at an odd robot mode scale, not just vehicle mode, but robot mode proportional scale.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Starscream just feels perfect. That's why I rank him above RC, and I'm going to get to reasons why I rank him above Cliffjumper. When I get to Cliffjumper, which is really hard to say because Cliffjumper, messing with him today, almost is better than Starscream, but I just don't know. I'll go into it in a little bit later on here. But no, that Megatron, the Megatron is great, but I don't think he's Starscream tier. Which is not to say he's bad, absolutely. But He's not quite as cohesive. He's highly cohesive, especially for a Cybertronian alt mode Megatron. But Starscream is just like obscenely well engineered.
Mm-hmm.
That one. Do we know who engineered that one? I want to say it's a Mr. Starscream piece, but
I don't know myself. I don't remember if we ever learned that.
If we find out, that dude's he did something really right. But was that your Transformers haulage for this week?
That is my Transformers haulage for this week.
Seth Buzzard, do you have Transformers haulage for this week?
I do.
Hey.
But you should have just gone into Cliff Jumper right then and there. It would have been, you had already started and you were already talking about Prime. And I'm not talking about Prime. So
I didn't want to leave you out in the cold.
Should have just gone for it, man.
Oh.
Because I'm gonna have to go back out to the cold. But anyway,
I'll bring you into the warmth for just a little bit, you know, get your blood flowing.
Last time, God guaranteed for the second time that I would have something, and this time it worked. Because second time's the charm.
Hey,
so
I did.
With great thanks to him. Huh?
I didn't let everyone down this week.
Everyone. So with great thanks to him. I finally got that Warpath from forever ago.
Hey!
It seems like forever ago. Just, you know, quick comment. You know, H tanks, they are what they are. You not ideal. So it kind of breaks its resemblance to the original figure, but the robot mode is super great. I really love the robot mode. It homages the original toy in so many ways. Like his track feet, the turret chest, even having this flap that sticks up behind his head, like how the original head was just the inside of the turret hatch. It's so good, and the color is spot on. It's really, really great. The only like articulation that I think it's missing is any sort of a waist joint, but you know, you're never going to get everything all the time. So happy with how it came out. I think it's a really great figure and I'm glad I have it.
It's something I think everyone should get a hold of, especially now that at least in Canada, Warpath is showing up sort of en masse at Walmarts. As his case assortment sort of pops up.
Yeah, it blew my mind when Seth had said that he's never seen it, because I'm like, wow, there's like five at every store around here.
No, the only thing around here is movie stuff.
That stinks.
It's movie and nothing else. Like, just a couple days ago, I was at a Toys R Us. Only movie stuff. That's it. Nothing else Transformer related. Just everywhere I go. It's like there is nothing but the movie. And I went to Kmart yesterday knowing full well I wasn't going to find anything I would want. And they have Transformers, buy two, get one free on pretty much every size class. But it's just all movie stuff. And in some of the size classes, they didn't even have three different figures. So it's like, you know, whatever. But at least it's finally starting to get rid of just their piles and piles. Like, it's starting to thin out. Maybe if they do a buy one, get three free on their Green Lantern garbage, they could get rid of that.
Hey, man, don't you want to connect and collect Parallax?
No.
I didn't think so.
It's just, Parallax is sold on its own anyway.
Oh, but this is a movie masterpiece, Parallax. He's more
whatever.
Movie masterpiece-y.
Whatever. Just that stuff's never going away.
All you have to do is
forever.
You just have to buy a whole load of other movie masterpiece Green Lantern movie men, and then you'll be able to build movie Parallax.
Well, like, at this Kmart in the past, they would always do like a big restock around Thanksgiving. But man, they haven't restocked anything. Like, they put out a little more Captain America stuff, but, you know, there hasn't been any new Captain America stuff. But, like, their Lego section is, like, almost completely wiped out. There's only a handful of Lego sets left. The Star Wars section's almost wiped out, and they made that smaller, which is bizarre. Like, they cut down the section for Star Wars figures by about half. And it's just, I don't know what's going on with that store, but it doesn't seem like they want to sell anything.
That sounds like the Eglinton Toys R Us I went to today, in a way where I finally found some more Prime toys, because they were a bunch of deluxes all just like thrown and stuffed into a bin. So I took a picture of it and posted it on Twitter, and all the internationals went like, God, we don't even have Prime toys, and they're binning them already. It was weird. Did you get any other Transformers this week, though?
No, that's it.
Like I said,
it's movie or nothing around here.
Yeah. Well, I got Prime Cliff Jumper. I went out to Sherway Toys R Us and then was wooed by that Jezebel GM Fan 101.
Yeah, you were.
To go get into some illicit business with some Nightwalkers.
He should call himself Siren Fan 101.
Yeah, well, that goddamn Jezebel GM Fan 101 and his Nightwalkers. They just pulled me into their web of debauchery, and we're, you know, lines off of people's backs, and it keeps going till someone bleeds. You got to keep going till someone bleeds. It's the only way I can feel any. Anyway, I got Prime Cliff Jumper. His vehicle mode is fantastic and really thin. It's like almost the exact same dimensions as the 1970s movie Bumblebee from the first wave of the first movie toys, like in terms of dimensions. Just really thin muscle car. Looks awesome. And then he transforms a lot. And then his robot mode is like a muscly robot who does not look thin in any way. So it's, instead of mass shifting size, he mass shifts proportions. So he goes from being this really kind of just flat, thin muscle car with not a lot of depth inside of him to this robot with beefy shoulders, beefy arms, a big chest, and like real tree trunky shins. It's a really cool effect. And if he had a waist, people are telling me he has a waist joint. He has a quote unquote waist joint, but you have to unlock like two parts of his chest to actually make it move. Although the chest all lock, like any modern Prime toy or movie toy right now, everything on this guy locks together in both modes really fantastically. And it's great because he actually has a bit of a complicated transformation, and it's saved by the fact that once you do get things in place, they click in place. It's also kind of funny that I think this is actually the most complex Prime Deluxe, this Cliff Jumper. And it's Prime Cliff Jumper. It's kind of weird to me. Also, I definitely say he is one of the top three best deluxes. And then here's another weird thing. I think the top three best Prime Deluxes would be Cliff Jumper, RC, and Starscream. And they all kind of have a thing that goes on in the opening episode of Prime. And they're the three best Prime First Edition toys I've messed with so far. All kind of weird.
You'd rank RC over Megatron?
I would. The Megatron's main thing, which keeps him from being top anything, is that it's really weird to... I can't figure out how to objectively look at him because he's part of a two-pack. And it kind of makes him, to me, a bit different than the other ones. Although I still think he's a very fine toy. He's also, like, he's complex, but RC is just impressive in a bike engineering way. Starscream is just almost flawless. And Cliffjumper is incredibly engaging in an automobile sort of sense. And those all just sort of grip me a little bit more than Megatron. Although I do still like that Megatron. Like, Cliffjumper just has these parts of his transformation. Like, the way his legs come together is just beautiful. And again, it's also very intuitive. And his robot mode ends up looking extremely show model. Like there's very little wrong with it. The only problem is like the front grill of his car mode with the two little horns kind of form his anus, which is odd. He's got horns on his butt. But that aside, like everything else.
Defense.
They make. I heard that they make a medicine to cure horny anus.
It might, but The Rock don't need none of that Rudy Poo, candy ass loser talk. Like just every Cliff Jumper is so well done. My knee jerk reaction was Cliff Jumper is the best deluxe now, but messing with him some more and thinking about it, I think Starscream still just
that's still pretty high praises though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Starscream just gets him out. Only because I find that Cliffjumper's... Also, by the way, this whole time I've been talking, I transformed him. I hope that that speaks to the fact that this guy has an extremely complicated transformation that you can still do really fast. There's even a really cool trick where his backpack is like the basically the front hood of the car. But then his backpack, the headlights from the bottom of his backpack swing forward to form the sides of the front of his waist. I don't even know how to explain that. But they do. And his robot proportions are beautiful. And standing there, he looks gorgeous. Arm poses, he looks gorgeous, especially because he has an utterly flawless gimmick where his hands can transform into his triple-barreled cannons. The way they do this is flawless. There is nothing wrong with how this is done. It's like one of the most perfect my hands turn into guns things I've seen on a Transformer ever. But the problem he has is that despite having all of his joints, there are small limitations to his posability that Starscream does not have. Mainly in Cliffjumper's case, I find it's his legs. It's not due to a lack of joints, although his knee is only single jointed, and his ankles are actually really tiltable with a ball joint. It's the fact that a lot of the joints don't add up to a lot of posing options for his legs, which then by extension means it makes a lot of his arm poses look a little bit clunkier, and he starts looking like a slightly more sloppy toy, but it's almost like it's just an optical illusion and an unfortunate one at that. That's why I think he's more like just below Starscream, but if you prefer, like, just if you are going to judge this guy by just transformation alt mode and standing robot mode, I think he does beat out Starscream just. But Starscream is able to emote a whole lot more, which then pushes him up to me a little bit higher. As far as gimmicks, Cliffjumper, like, he's got the swappable wrist things. His horns are all, like, made from a bendy plastic, but it's way sturdier than the bendy plastic on Starscream. And this transformation is beautiful. Like, there are videos of it. If you got to see what it looks like, you can go find a video of it. I think it's for your money on a deluxe, a transformation like this, the way it achieves what it does, I think is gorgeous. Zombie version of this, totally worth it, because this is a good toy, in my opinion. I do like the look of the new Cliffjumper coming up in Robots in Disguise, but again, this is already a really good figure, and there are aspects of this that I think turn out better than on that new Cliffjumper.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus. Whenever they show pictures of the second version of Cliffjumper, there's an awful lot of replies that people say, like, I don't know why they're doing a second one, because the first one looks better to me.
There's a sliver on each side window of the car that, because it's connected to the legs, has its own hinge to fold up inside the shin. Like, the transformation on Cliffjumper is something that you should experience. And I think that if you got to just pick one Autobot, one Decepticon, oddly enough, I think Cliffjumper and Starscream are like the top tiers of their sides as far as deluxes go. I'm really happy I found this guy. If I found him out here, if the pattern holds, I'm sure he'll show up in America possibly by the end of the month. I wouldn't go on eBay because he's going to cost you at least $30 shipped on eBay, and I think that will make a lot more of his flaws pop out more, whereas if you're paying retail for him, he feels awesome. I highly recommend Cliffjumper. This whole first edition wave of Prime toys, they really feel like generations tier levels of quality, to put it one way. And get Cliffjumper if you can. Get Starscream first, but then get Cliffjumper if you need a car to play with Starscream, and then just kind of ignore that first episode would actually go down. And pretend that Cliffjumper's totally a badass that is invincible. There you go. So I really recommend Cliff Jumper. He does a whole lot right and so little wrong, if at all, if anything. And he's frighteningly on model for a deluxe toy. Even the chest has a split in it. It barely splits apart, but and tilts. But like there's a split down the middle, so you can tilt the hood or the roof on his chest either way to give him the split pecs look that the show model has. I really like this toy a lot. It's fun to transform. Cliff Jumper's really good. I'm impressed. I think that's also all the Transformers we got. And I got nothing off topic. So I'm just going to ask one of you guys, then the other one. Seth, what did you off topic this week?
Just a couple things. Mm-hmm. While I was on that Toys R Us visit, I went over to the aisle where they keep all the really cool stuff, like the NECA stuff and the McFarlane stuff. So I was looking around through that stuff. And they had some of the McFarlane Walking Dead figures. So I was like looking at them. And I just ended up walking out of there with a black and white comic book style Rick Grimes.
Hmm.
And it's pretty interesting. I mean, clearly they kind of did that McFarlane thing where it's kind of like they didn't sculpt it to be articulated and then made it be articulated. But they did some interesting things with the legs. But like speaking of the legs, so there's a definite stance with this dude that his legs want to be in to stand upright. And it's kind of hard to get him to stand any other way but that. But he has like a T crotch, but there is a thigh swivel like very high up, like just below the crotch itself, and a pivot to where you can kind of spread his legs also. So he has a decent range of movement in the hips, but he just has a very simple knee. He does have a ball jointed ankle. But with his, does the knee do it? No, the knee can't even really bend very far. Like this is maybe a 45 degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be generous, but his arms do something kind of interesting. His wrist, elbow, and shoulder are all like semi-clicky, ratchety kind of joints.
Hmm.
So you just feel every little pop, 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 pop as you're moving them. Which, like, even down onto his wrists, which I was kind of surprised by. I like ball joint head, but, like, no articulation whatsoever in the torso. So he's fairly limited, but, man, does he come with guns. So he comes with a pistol that goes into a holster on his hip, comes with a hatchet that goes into a loop on his other hip, and he comes with that duffel bag of rifles. Or if you've read the comic or seen the TV show, you know about that duffel bag full of rifles.
Hmm.
So comes with four assorted rifles and shotguns that you could jam into this thing. And what I like is there's a little hole on his shoulder, and on the bag strap, there's a little peg. So you just don't have the strap slung over his shoulder to keep it on there. The peg helps keep it in place.
That's cool.
Which is, it's pretty good. They're pretty expensive for what they are, which is a bummer. I might get the TV style figures when they come out. Like the first wave is going to be Rick, Daryl, and two zombies. I could live without the zombies, but I might want to get the Rick and Daryl. So, but we'll see when they're actually out, if I feel like spending as much money as they are. But so that's one off-topic thing. Then the other off-topic thing is more 3A stuff has been shipping.
Oh!
So I got another... Yay. 3A package, but these aren't robots. These are the Yellow Hornet set of Tomorrow Kings.
Oh, man, necks.
Yeah, they do have freaky long necks. So all my comments on, you know, the actual figure itself from the hatchery guard last time, you know, still applies. All the body is exactly the same. The difference comes in the clothing and also the coloring on these, like where the hatchery guard guy was kind of grimy and like had paint wash all over it to kind of make it look like his skin is dirty and his clothes are all dirty. The Hornets are clean. So there's no real weathering on them at all, which is kind of a nice little change of pace. They're all identical sans their hair color. There's four dudes with four different colored hairs. Otherwise, you know, the sculpt is exactly the same. Their costumes are exactly the same. They have yellow track suits with black stripes. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect them to have an undershirt on under the track suit. And I didn't really expect, I mean, I don't know why I didn't think it would, but the zipper on their tracksuit is fully functional zipper, but it is so small. I can only assume that it is very fragile, and I am not going to be spending a lot of time working those zippers. I'm going to pretty much leave them the way they are and not tempt fate. I zip one down to see what was going on, and I was surprised to find that they have a black tank top on underneath, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just another layer of clothing that I didn't expect would be there.
At the 6-inch scale, multiple layers of clothing that are not completely nullifying a lot of the fun factor.
Right. And the pants offer a better range of motion than the shorts on the hatchery guard. So the legs are a little more poseable.
Hmm.
And when you unzip that tracksuit, you do show more of that neck. That looks much better when it's all zipped up tight, I believe. I like their background story. It is appropriately ridiculous. if you're not aware. So at San Diego Comic-Con, they did a 4-pack of Tomorrow Kings that were TK Unleashed, and they are a boy band. And the story of the Yellow Hornets is the TK Unleashed opening act dropped out of the tour.
Hmm.
And they didn't have time to get a new opening act, so they became their own opening act, referring to themselves as the Yellow Hornets. And then TK Unleashed sued the Yellow Hornets for copyright infringement and put them out of business. So they're idiots. but you know, these funny little background stories on some of these things are kind of fun.
That's why I own that JEA drop cloth and square for that little blur.
Yeah, and once they're a band, I got out all my little scale size instruments from a Reveltech and Fairline and whatever, and set them all up as a band and took some pictures. So the pictures are out there. And that is my off-topic stuff for this every other week.
Ooh. And Gog, did you off-topic at all to carry us out of...
Oh man, I wasn't ready. Like, that went by so fast.
Oh!
I don't mean that bad. I was like, wow, like, we're cruising. So
we're on a clip now. We're on a clip.
Yeah. I got two 3A robots right here.
Welcome! Welcome, Gog, to the 3A world of collecting.
I can't see it. It's in a box that's stapled and taped, and it
has... Do you mind if I call you fellow legionnaire?
No, because this one I'm holding in my hand is going to Seth tomorrow.
Oh.
And then this other one right here is going to Crasis tomorrow.
So you're going to cause two podcasts to have 3A discussion.
Yeah.
Two entirely separate podcasts.
Yeah, I totally sold out for the benefit of myself because back in the end of July, the last week of July, Good Smile Company put up pre-orders that were Wonderfest exclusives for the oft-mentioned on this show Wonderfest convention, Wonder Festival, which is a twice-a-year Japanese toy show, which is, like, the most awesome toy show in the history of mankind, and I wish that I could go to something like that, because it's awesome, and I just hang on every picture that comes out of it, but luckily I did get a taste of it this year, though, because Good Smile put up exclusives for several of the, or put up pre-orders, made to order for several of the Wonder Festival exclusives that from the summer. So, I got Seth and Crasis to buy in because Good Smile offered flat rate shipping no matter how big your order was. So that helped offset my cost. So yes, I sold my soul to the 3A Satan, in order to, to make the shipping for two Figmas much more, palatable.
Welcome, but, fellow Legionnaire,
yeah,
to a new world of collecting, one where we don't abide by the rules. We are unbound here in the Legion.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll be a Legion member until tomorrow, I guess. But my portion of this deal was two Figmas that I got. One is a new version of the Aegis that I already have. Aegis being the female android from Persona 3. I guess is awesome. Persona's awesome. You should play those games. But Persona 3 was originally released, and then they came out with a second version with some slight tweaks, and then kind of like an after story, which was like an extra chapter that takes place. And in that chapter, I guess kind of gets this armor that she wears with a... It's kind of hard to explain, but I will post pictures, you can Google it. Just Google Aegis heavily armored version. But, no, it's really cool. I mean, it's an Aegis. It's basically the same figure I've got with, basically like a new torso piece or a new add-on piece onto the torso and then some new accessories. She has a cannon arm, which is awesome. Because the first version, I think the only real accessory it had was the rocket punch that I talked about last time. But this one has a little more. It's got a rail cannon, which replaces her whole forearm and basically turns into a giant gun. she comes with effects parts because she has machine gun fingers, as I think I talked about before as well. That's her primary kind of staple weapon. But this one comes with effects parts that you can use with either version of Aegis, which is cool. So it looks like there's actually like muzzle flash coming out of each one of her fingers, and that's really awesome. And then she comes with an extra hair part, because usually on the Figmas you kind of pull the front part of the hair away, and then you can replace the face for multiple expressions, and then you replace the hair part. But she comes with new hair parts that... because she has kind of like a fold-down visor that almost kind of resembles RoboCop a bit. So she has one that with the visor folded up and then one with it down. So it's really cool. You know, I'm a big fan of Aegis, and I'm happy that I was able to get that because it was... BBTS has... I think they still have her for sale in stock, and it's like $75. But ordering directly from Good Smile, I was able to get her for 3,000 yen.
Which is, oh, nice.
Yep. Less than half the price. The other Figma I got in that was Roger Smith, who is the main character from Big O.
Such a natural fit for an exclusive release.
Yeah, it's a little strange, too, because they've done a Big O Figma already, which, again, I think I've already talked about on this. I got her a few months ago. It was R. Dorothy, who is another female android. And she was kind of like the second main character. Roger... definitely being the main character. I mean, I guess that fits with Figma's MO. They like doing the slender female character. And I think that their joint system lends itself well to that. Roger Smith is basically a retool of the Galgo 13.
I don't have, I have the Goggle 13. I haven't, I mean, he's in a box and I haven't really done a side by side comparison, but he shares most of the body and everything. He's obviously got a new head. I don't remember what kind of tie or anything Golgo had, because the necktie part on this I think is unique, but yeah, he's basically the Golgo mold with some slight new parts and a new head and some new accessories. But I don't mind the mold. I think it looks fine. It makes some concessions because, as I said, Figma is used to doing slender female anime chicks. So they're not really used to doing like broad chested male characters like Golgo 13 or Roger Smith. So it kind of features some cuts in the joints to allow the same posability that they would get from the smaller arms. And I think that bothers some people. Cause, like I said, I liked the Golgo 13. I thought he was great. He comes with some really cool accessories, and yeah, he's not perfect, but for what he is, it was great. And I didn't regret getting him at all. But for I think some of the more hardcore Figma people that really, really value the sculpts that they're able to pull out with their very good joint system, I don't think he was as well received by everyone as he was with me. But yeah, I'm glad that I got him. He's great. The faces and head sculpt and everything on him look really good. But yeah, so. Yeah, I only really got one other thing. I was at Toys R Us, I think, yesterday. Let me see if I can. I should have had the picture probably already pulled up, but let me see if I can find this. But yeah, no, I'm a failure. I'm a hardcore failure. But yeah, here we go. This is great podcasting right here. Sorry.
It's amazing.
I basically found what appears to be reissue Gumby figures from the 80s. I don't know. I had mentioned Gumby to some people, and I was surprised at how many people had no idea who Gumby was. Most of those people were from Europe, so I don't know if it just never was aired in Europe or not. But yeah, it's like, I was like, okay. And so like, there was no price or anything on them. So I took them to the scanner and scanned them, and they were like $4.99 each. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Because I remember liking Gumby as a kid. Like, I used to watch the show, and I had the toys, and I was always kind of horrified because basically the figures have like a bendable wire frame that allows them to go into all their crazy positions, and eventually, as you played with the toys, like sometimes the wires would start poking out through the rubbery plastic, and it's like, oh, Gumby, what's happening? You have shrapnel coming out of your elbow.
Cyborg, Gumby.
Yeah, so I haven't, as I was saying when I bought these, like, it's been like 25 years since I've had the Gumby toy, and they seem pretty faithful to what I remember. I remember the weird little air holes that they had from whatever their production method is.
Mm-hmm.
They seem like toys from like 25 years ago, but it's really amazing. Like, I wish I remembered more about Gumby, because I remember watching the show and really liking it and liking the characters, but God, it's been so long that I don't know.
Ask me anything about Gumby.
Tell me anything about Gumby.
What do you want to know?
Did you like Gumby?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was once a ball of clay.
Right.
Now see what Gumby can do today. He could walk into any book with his Pony Pal Pokey 2. And if you have a heart, then Gumby's a part of you.
I have a heart.
Do you like Pokey?
Gumby, Pokey, Prickle.
Yeah. Look at this.
Blockheads.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at this. I don't know if this means they're actually making these guys or what, but this is the card back from Gumby. So it shows all those guys.
No, they should make them.
Yeah. I don't know if this is just the first wave and they're going to be doing those or what, but because it doesn't say those guys are coming soon, it just shows the character. So.
I don't know about that goo. They gave goo legs. That ain't right. That ain't right.
You can cut them off.
Thank
cut them off. I know all about cutting off some limbs and oh.
That's cool though.
Yeah. I mean, they basically look like, well, at least Gumby and Pokey. I mean, they basically look like, you know, the classic Gumby and Pokey toys.
Yeah. So
I remember my brother and I, we had a huge Gumby that was like, it was more of like a soft foam with the wire underneath. And I remember when that wire came out. That was a bummer.
So, yeah, there you go. If you like Gumby, if you have childhood memories of Gumby, take a look at your Toys R Us. You find little $5 Gumbies that, for all intents and purposes, look just like the 80s versions to me. So, and for $5 a piece, they seem pretty cool. I was really surprised. I was expecting typical Toys R Us to, hey, let's add $5 to this because, you know, we're Toys R Us and we can do that.
Who do you trust more? About a year or so ago, I watched a documentary on the guy that created Gumby. Man, what a bizarre story.
How so?
Well, he was like just sort of this kind of everyday dude who got into doing this animation, and then next thing you know, he's like leaving his family, like kind of bailed on his wife and kids, and really got into the hippie counterculture during the 60s. And Gumby is still being produced, and then Davy and Goliath get into the mix. So it's like this really kind of, Davy and Goliath was it the Mormons fund? It was funded. I think it was the Mormons funded it. So like it had to adhere to like some pretty strict rules and really push that Christian message forward. And, but meanwhile, like the creator is like this hippie doing drugs and hanging out with Frank Zappa and just, like he did some pretty kind of cold things to his family. Like nothing like he wasn't beating people or anything, but just like the way he bailed on them, just, it's kind of, man, it's just, it's like this, but Gumby, man, like it seems so simple and happy and friendly. And this dude's like got this bizarre life that is also kind of, he's kind of a dick, but he's also not. it's just really weird. Like, I wish I could remember the title, make it easier for anyone who may be interested to track down, but it was just bizarre. Gumby, yo.
I'm spaced on this Gumby stuff. I'm staring at that Dr. Gumby and Sheriff Gumby and trying to figure out, like, which one do you trust more? That's my question, really. Like, do you trust Dr. Gumby or do you trust Sheriff Gumby? Man of science or man of action?
I mean, Dr. Gumby
depends on what the problem is.
Yeah, Dr. Gumby could give you a cavity search without even moving his shoulder. It's kind of creepy. Does that mean you trust him? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that mean you distrust him? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a question I want all our listeners to ask themselves as they're listening to this part of the episode. Who do you trust? Dr. Gumby?
Are you team Sheriff Gumby or team Dr. Gumby?
Team Dr. Gumby. Kind of amazing. But
prickle.
Aside from your Gumby acquisition, is that all you got this week?
That's it.
Well, you know what? I just got something this week in my email inbox. 3A Vox 17. Guess what it has a whole bunch of pictures of? You never guess.
Voxes. 17 Voxes.
Whole bunch of new pictures of Ashley Wood's Zaku.
Oh, God.
That's all it has. I gotta say, you know what? It's showing mostly, the bulk of these photos are its gun, its axe, and its giant shoulder pad, and those look Zaku-like. So its right arm is very Zaku-like.
Yeah, if you want a Zaku, get the Robot Damashi blue Galf thing that I called a Zaku a while back and got. Apparently,
Apparently, Krace has gotten in trouble for it, so whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's fine.
I want to like, go on, I love this idea that you can go onto his podcast and get stuff wrong, and then he has to deal with the backlash all by himself. I want to go on his podcast now. I want to talk about He-Man's and Robotech. Actually, I should try talking about Gundams. That always gets people really riled up. Oh, man. I love Zaku because he's got, like, six pipes on his stomach and face. It's how I always remembered him. Anyway, 3A Cross Bandai. That is our show for this week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, GogDog and Seth, for coming by and chattering in a recorded medium.
And waiting for, you know, a few hours for you to show up.
Well, it was worth it because this way we ended just in time to get an update on the Zaku by 3A Cross Bandai designed by Ashley Wood. It's got giant fingers. Anyway.
I thought you were going to keep going on that by yourself.
No, he does. He has giant fingers. Huge finger. And I think his feet come from the pop bots, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll be back next week. You can call us on the WTF at TFW voicemail Google hotline at 318-775-9830, 318-775-WTF0, 318-775 number what is 09830, whatever is your poison that you choose to drink. I'm going to go and fall asleep about 5 minutes from when I hit the off button, because I am losing consciousness at merely 3 a.m. Whoa! And I almost fell out of my chair. So, have a good one, everybody. And, you know, it's okay if you got to take blood to get there. Bye.
What was wrong with you?
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.